Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome along to this director's commentary watch. Is that what we call it? A listen? A follow-along for Sex and the City and the movie.
That's right. A pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for joining us. I, of course, am Guy Montgomery, joined by my esteemed friend, Tim Batt. And
I'm going to be very esteemed soon because I am going to consume a lovely bottle of red wine for this watch. Feels appropriate. Feels good.
Well, it does. It certainly feels akin to what we were doing on set.
What am I drinking? Thanks for asking. It is a Chilean Pinot Noir from Macaraca.
Look, truth be told, Tim, that's actually not what you're drinking. The first thing you're drinking is a Pinot Noir from Gunn Estate here in New Zealand.
No way.
I believe a 2018, a very good vintage.
Cheers. Here's to the two of us and our fabulous film, Sex and the City.
A triumph. When's the last time you watched this? For me, super recently.
Yes, same. I feel like I've never stopped watching it, really.
I'm so proud
of this movie.
And in a lot of ways, that's true. So, little known fact about Sex and the City, the fifth character in these movies, or in the show, is Woody Allen. The sixth, New York City.
Yes. What's the seventh?
There's no seventh
fashion.
Character. Yeah, fashion does play a...
Eighth, horoscopes. The ninth gal, yellow cabs. Gal number 10, rounding it off, gay men. We can put in the film to great comedic effect. Little toys for us to play with. Little Barbie dolls.
How are you, Tim? Are you excited to be watching this with me?
No.
You excited to be talking about it?
No.
You excited to engage with it, create sort of fanciful notions about experiences on set?
Oh, absolutely. When you phrase it like that, yes, I'm so excited to be here. Truly I am. There's nowhere I'd rather be than just plucked up in front of this movie, which can't stress enough, we've seen quite recently, both of us separately.
That's all right. So, of course, what we have here is a little bit of exposition. We want to bring everyone up to speed as quickly as possible.
What's been happening with you, man?
A lot of people said, you know, the movie comes out at such a reasonable clip, why don't you keep it going at that same pace? To which we said,
fuck you.
Yeah, we pretty much said, fuck you.
What's been going on with you since we made this film?
What did we make this in? 2008.
Mm.
So I was a young boy of 20. Which is crazy that they handed us the reins to such a popular franchise at the ripe old age of 20 with no experience writing or directing feature films. But, you know, that's the swings that you can afford to take when you're HBO. Home box office. It's not TV. It's a movie. And since then, I think I've really grown into myself, actually. And I think you see a lot of my blind spots or experiences I've learned from played out in this film. That little moment there, Tim, where Big winks at Carrie like that was from the very first episode of Sex and the City.
Wow.
Something I didn't know. I didn't know that Big was introduced into the Sex and the City universe in the very first episode of the TV show.
He looked so young in all these flashbacks, his full head of jet black hair.
He is
smooth skin.
Generally regarded as incredibly handsome.
You seem incredulous.
Not incredulous, but he sort of is hot to me in like a pretty ordinary way. Like, I don't specifically think he's super good looking. He's not to my taste.
Here's the thing about Mr. Big. He can give a fuck what you think. That's what makes him so damn delicious.
But, you know, I mean, what sort of men
oh,
do you...
Oh, God, that and the fact that he loves to feast on human noses.
Yeah.
That's sort of... the other very alluring fact about Big Guy Montgomery.
What sort of...
He loves potatoes and human noses.
What sort of men do you find attractive?
I like men who like noses.
So you do find Mr. Big attractive?
Love him. For that simple fact.
I remember when I was still a virgin... At the end of seventh form, I tried masturbating to gay porn because I thought that was the problem.
Give it a whirl.
Devastated to find out I wasn't gay.
Oh, were you gutted?
Well, it just meant I was doing poorly with the ladies.
Not gay yet.
Still.
Who knows what's in store for you, though, you know?
That's true. Sexuality is a spectrum.
We're on level 33 in this. This is one of the notes that I managed to sneak in. I've snuck a lot of notes into the scripting, which I'll explain as we manage to go forward. They managed to unpick a lot of stuff I put in, but I wanted 33 to be in there because it has a lot of symbolism in the satanic community.
I don't know that, the number 33, because it's half of 66.
Just three is an incredibly powerful number in numerology and necromancy and the occult. And
what, so, why three?
It's just used in a lot of symbology, a lot of triangles. It's a very strong number. Used in a lot of conjuring. So 30, I was like, you know what? Hey, can we get them to go to level 30? Would that be okay? 33? And they fucking left it in.
Who's they in this? Is they me?
Script supervisors who look over it afterwards. And actually, that in this production, that did happen to be the case. I was trying to sneak bases past Guy Montgomery. And now we're back together analysing how we did.
Yeah. It was my decision to leave that mirror in the corner of the room.
Chris, that wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah. Chris Noth famously has never looked in a mirror before, and I was hoping to catch him out on screen. Not for the film, but just to put it in the blooper reel, send it into America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
You've not lived until you've seen a man north of 50 catch his reflection for the first time. He'd seen photos of himself.
Yeah. Did he understand it was him, the photos?
Yeah, he understands that, but there's still. He's never seen himself on camera. He's never seen himself in a mirror. He's never seen himself in motion.
Oh, that's got to mess with a man's mind when you see that for the first time. Did you manage to get him?
No.
Nah, that makes me sad.
That's right. You'll remember I did set up one day's shoot where I said we were going to be shooting in a hall of mirrors. But Chris didn't make it, and... Sergius Kapanga did make it a set that day. She was catatonic with rage. I filmed her for 7 hours in a hall of mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
The secret was I hadn't actually put a false door in there, so it was just a hallway full of mirrors.
How'd you get her? Was this sort of a trapdoor scenario?
How did I get her in there?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a trapdoor scenario.
Very good.
Yeah.
We love trapdoors in the film industry. A couple of things you need to know about Hollywood. Number one, it is basically an industry forged on top of a long-standing battle between the Illuminati and the Freemasons. And secondly, bloody love a trapdoor. We love them.
That's right. The Illuminati and the Freemasons both wanted to communicate their message to the world without outwardly acknowledging that that's what they were doing. And the means by which they both chose to do this was by releasing propaganda. Once they both caught wind that the other one was doing it, they sort of accelerated and advanced their efforts.
Bit of an arms race.
Yeah. And
symbolism in the culture.
I don't know that we'd say either of them won, but that is essentially, you know, with various other notes, what has led to Hollywood and movie making as we understand it today. I myself, of course, am a Freemason and a member of the Illuminati. I am not at liberty to divulge that information.
What do you mean? What you just said?
Yeah.
I see. It's kind of an interesting way to start a conversation, isn't it? Hi, I'm a spy and I'm not allowed to tell you that.
It's your classic double bluff.
I think I'd leave the conversation. No, I'd pursue it. If I met that person at a party, I'd say, let's get to know you.
Have you ever assumed a false identity? Have you ever
lied?
Constantly,
yes, absolutely. It's a fun thing to do. Just to strangers, not to people I know. It probably wouldn't work.
When's the last time you did it to a stranger?
Very long time ago. Eons.
What'd you do?
I don't know. I can't even remember. Just make up a funny name, you know, and then fill in a backstory from there. What do you do? volunteer firefighter by day, accountant by night.
I remember one New Year's Eve when I lost all of my friends. Instead of being Guy Montgomery looking to be reunited with his friends, I was a South African exchange student.
Mm-hmm. Named Vickers?
No, I think it was Francois.
That's good. It's a fun name. Where were you?
Wanaka. Wanaka, New Zealand. Jewel of the North.
Did it go well?
No. Why would it? Beyond not having a very interesting character, I was also not very interesting. I was just some drunk 19-year-old.
Mm.
I remember because we were set to start shooting on this the next day.
On your 20th birthday.
The 1st of January.
Yes.
2008. Now, this woman we hired from a commercial. She was the voiceover artist on a commercial promoting a new range of Hoovers. And we said, that is a hell of a voice. Does this person have a body? And they said, yep.
They said, what do you mean? And we said, does she have a body? And they said, I'm not sure if you're allowed to ask that. And we said, I think you've misunderstood. We literally mean, does she have corporeal form on this plane of existence?
We want to put her in a movie.
My mistake. Yes, of course. She can be captured by cameras. And we said, wonderful.
Captured by cameras. Is that, that's
now this is a fashion item that I've talked to you about in the past. This necklace that Sarah Jessica Parker shows herself.
The third eye.
It is the third eye. This is a bit of Illuminati symbology that I snuck in again. And it's all about the concept of the overseer.
Yeah.
You know, ultimate knowledge. Having control over one's own destiny.
I, of course, didn't notice this at the time because I was working very hard on Chris Noth's knife skills. Mm. Now, I want to ask you a question, Tim, because Chris and I had a huge argument about this, a big blowout. We didn't talk for the rest of our time on production, and we famously shoot chronologically, so it made for a very challenging next 60 days of work. Do you think resting a knife on the tip like he has and leaning it on the chopping board,
yeah,
see how his hand's on the top, the tip of the knife is on the bottom, is good, bad or neutral for the knife?
It's bad for the knife, but it is very good for Chris. It makes you look cool.
Interesting, yeah.
There's no way to deny it. To almost look like you're leaning on the point of a knife, that's cool. That's undeniably cool. And you spent a long time getting Chris to this point as well. I remember coming to set after sort of feverish rewrites through the night on a lot of coffee and some things that aren't coffee. Turning up and just seeing you and Chris Noth sparring was incredibly sharp. You sort of started with swords and then got shorter and shorter.
He was very evasive about doing any knife workshops because he was afraid of the reflective surfaces. He knew I was looking to catch him out, and he is very cagey around glass, any sort of reflected metal.
Doesn't like polished metals. You had to blast them back to make them matte, didn't you?
Even marble, yeah. And he said, I'm gonna do my chopping with wood. And I said, Chris, first of all, that's not going to work. It's not going to read on camera. And it's also, you can't chop with wood. And he said, oh, yeah, watch me. And I remember we had a cheese board out that day, and he picked up a tree trunk and slammed it into a block of cheese. It was sort of a white Costello, a soft cheese. And the whole thing, because it was quite warm, sort of just stuck itself onto the bottom of the trunk of wood. I said, well, you've wasted a perfectly good wheel of cheese there, not to mention a perfectly good tree trunk.
Yeah.
He did not take to that.
What a fucking idiot.
Me or Chris?
Chris.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he just trust that you know what you're talking about?
Well, I did a lot to undermine his confidence and trust throughout the production period. So,
for example?
Well, I mean,
I remember one goof you played on him where you tied him up with zip ties and left him overnight.
Yeah.
It was fucking funny. But that's why you've got to learn your lines when you turn up to see it, you know?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you only get the script on arrival. I still want you to have an idea of what your lines are going to be. And if that idea does not match up to the lines that we have written, you're going to get zip tied. You're going to be left alone for a night.
It's funny. This is how we build camaraderie.
Yeah.
We zip tie some stars and leave them out.
The way the world's going now, you know, people get so upset when they hear these stories. They say, you can't zip tie Chris Noth, respected actor Chris Noth. And I say, yeah, well, I got a whole reel of fucking photographs to suggest otherwise.
Yeah,
that guy was hog tied to shit. Couldn't move. He was furious. I kept threatening to hang a mirror over his head. He said, don't do that. I don't want the first time I see myself to be when I'm struggling. I said, well, you're going to learn to chop with knives then. He said, okay. And then that's when I got a knife out, chopped up all the zip ties.
Mm.
Anyhow.
He was all right after that, I've got to say.
Maybe to you. You sort of played, not devil's advocate, you played good cop.
Well,
I was very much bad cop.
It was. I was very keen to get one photo when he was zip tied up, which was I put an apple in his mouth like a roast piggy, took a photo of me doing the peace sign next to him, and that riled him up. But apart from that, you know, we're all adults. We're all in the business of trying to improve the prestige of the Illuminati or the Freemasons, respectively.
Possibly both. And everyone wondering, where the heck was SJP? Where was Kim? You know, where was Kristen? Where was Cynthia at this point? They were egging us on. I'm not going to name names, but Sarah Jessica Parker was egging us on like no one's business. Sarah Jessica Parker had a suitcase, a Louis Vuitton suitcase, filled with zip ties. And she said, if you don't get Chris, I'm going to get you.
This is another piece of numerology that I snuck into the script. 75 is a very satanic-friendly number. 76, a little bit more neutral.
I wish you'd told me that this is what you were planning to do, sneaking all these numbers. You know I'm happy for numbers to be in our movie anyway. I wish that... I mean,
couldn't chance it. I know you're a double agent working on both sides, which sort of makes you a bit of a neutral person, but there were too many people in that writer's room and in the sort of directorial team, of which many people joined Mattress Pikelet King. He doesn't like to talk about it, but he had several people stacked on top of each other in several trench coats helping him on the directing duties. I don't know who's a Freemason. I don't know who's Illuminati. I can't take my chances. I've just got to chuck a number in there and hope that they don't realize which team I'm playing for.
I remember when you turned in your original draft of the film, it was entirely numbers.
Yes. Yes, sir.
No letters, no words, no spaces.
You got it.
Formatted like a script.
Sort of had all the feel of a script.
It felt like you had
in that typewriter font.
You had written a movie.
Yeah, all numbers though.
Now, you will have noticed that we got the character of Charlotte York to scream there, and what you don't know is, as a compromise between Tim wanting to have a movie entirely based of numbers and my desire for a slightly more traditional model of a film, we wrote all of Charlotte's scenes to just be screams. But a lot of people found it unsettling. As I've said, Chris Noth was sort of off balance the whole shoot, and whenever he'd hear her screaming, it would sort of set him off like a young dog. So we had to reduce it and eventually give her some lines. Kristen Davis, funnily enough, very interested in the screaming role. Thought it was quite an exciting direction for Charlotte.
Yeah. In fact, from memory, once she received the translated script in English, she said, this will be a scream. Her words, not mine.
It's a bit of fun.
Gorgeous Candice Bergen joins us on screen. Legendary star of the small and larger screens.
That's right.
You could call it a small screen TV, but sometimes now TVs are big.
Her career is Candice Bergening.
Could.
Do you think that's been written before?
You know, maybe a TV guide from 1986. It could well be in print somewhere.
As a pun, I would describe it as simply irresistible.
Okay. Does that link into some career highlight for her or just a good song?
I just really like the song.
Yeah, fair enough too.
So in terms of plot, story, what's actually happening on screen right now?
I'll say
the same thing now as I said at the time. I don't give a fuck. Film what you want. We'll cobble it together. The idiots who like this series are going to gobble it up in the cinemas. It does not make one difference however this thing turns out. Literally, people are fucking morons. They'll pay their $15 plus $5 for a gallon of Coke, a giant bucket of popcorn, a Snickers from a freezer, and they'll watch whatever the fuck we tell them to watch.
Can I ask you a personal question? Because see it, they did. People turned out for this film and we made a significant amount of money. What in the intervening years since this came out, what is the silliest thing that you've spent a lot of money on with your earnings from Sex and the City and the movie?
Well, so I wasn't aware that the sort of hallway of mirrors or the house of mirrors was an already existing entertainment or sort of fun park property. So I, on the West Coast, I went on a two-year pilgrimage trying to buy all of the mirrors.
Not commissioning your own mirrors, just buying ones that are already there.
Just buying mirrors door-to-door, knocking on doors saying, you got any mirrors in the house? Can I buy them? And a lot of people were resistant. A lot of people, I was offering serious amounts of money, very open to it. I would say I probably collected about 45% of the mirrors on the West Coast of America.
Far out.
I then bought a significant amount of property in Arkansas, and I just put them all on top of each other.
The mirrors, just stacked them up.
Stacked them right up.
Are you talking after we wrap shooting? Or
yeah.
Are they there still in Arkansas? Just a big pile of mirrors?
Presumably. Once I sort of lined them all up, I realized I don't know what I'm doing here. None of this makes sense, and I just left them there.
If we get some, go around, buy some, maybe commission some big lenses to be made, big bits of glass, we could make ourselves a laser, a little heat ray.
From the mirrors?
A devastating heat ray, yeah.
How does that work? What's the science of that?
I think if we got all the mirrors, okay, picture this. We get all the mirrors that
That's my handwriting.
We get all the mirrors that you've purchased in a circle.
I'd write a lot of postcards in character as Vivian Westwood and just send them out on set. I sent you a few.
We tilt them up at 45-degree angle. So when the sun hits it, it all kind of blasts roughly into the middle. And then we focus all of that light through a single lens into a beam. I think we've got a heat ray at that point.
I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here to agree with you. I don't understand science.
I think that'd be a pretty cool thing to do. It's a good use for the mirrors. That, or go around New York City figuring out who's a vampire and who ain't. There's always that.
Yeah. We originally, the scene of Carrie and Big sniffing the book lasted an hour, but we got significant notes from the studio saying that's too long, so we cut it down to 55. Still too long. 50 minutes, still too long. 45 minutes, still too long. 40 minutes, still too long. 35 minutes, still too long. 30 minutes, still too long. 25 minutes, still too long. 20 minutes. Felt pretty good for a week until we got a note back saying it's actually still too long. 15 minutes, still too long. 10 minutes, still too long. 5 minutes, still too long. Eventually, I think it was down to about 22 seconds. And honestly, watching it back now, even that feels too long.
It does.
To think we wanted could have got it down. To think we wanted an hour of that right now is embarrassing.
In retrospect, sure, it was long, but you only get the feel for that sort of stuff once you're in the editing bay and you're seeing everything in context.
Put yourself in our shoes.
Put yourself in our shoes, everybody. We got 250 hours of footage, which we thought was all going to make it into the... This isn't takes. I'm talking like we've got our selects to put in the movie. Yeah, 250 hours stacked up.
Neither of us...
Do you want to know the original plot of this film, guys? Have you got... 4 hours?
Neither of us have written or made a movie before. You have to bear that in mind when we're sharing this information with you.
Hats off to the editor, though, eh?
Wow, the fact that they cobbled together anything even close to this cohesive is nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah. Here's to them. What do you make of this red? The wine?
Yeah, it's not a bad red. It was my idea to have this... have music in the movie.
Brand new filmic technique that Guy Montgomery brought to the
That's
fore.
Right.
He said, hey, have you guys heard music? And we said, yeah. The guy said, I'm thinking we whack some in the film. We said, yeah. He said, cool. Yeah. And then you raced out of the room. Running around to record shops, because you'd only ever heard 5 or 6 songs.
Well, I was ready to fight tooth and nail for the idea. It felt revolutionary, and I thought it was a pretty good one. And I stand behind that to this day.
Yeah, you got very little resistance in the room, but you look so pent up, ready for a fight. Yeah.
Well, I was ready for one.
Spring all coiled up, ready to bounce, with no place to go.
I tell you what I wasn't excited about.
What's that, mate?
Books being in the movie.
Fucking A. You and I both fought very hard to try and get all literature and books... and text, actually, removed from the movie. We kept arguing with the several directors stacked up on top of each other in trench coats, saying, mate, people don't go to the movies to hear about books. People go to the movies to forget about books. Get them out of here. Now, introduction of young Brady, who What you need to understand is that Guy and I have developed a lot of projects involving this young man's character. Not any of them have been greenlit so far, but we have got merch ideas, children's animated series,
lunchboxes, playing cards, pajamas. I mean, we've got
religions.
It all. We've only made two sets of all this stuff, and it's all adult-sized, almost exactly to our specifications. Sort of as mock-ups, I guess, because we went into the room to pitch. But I think a lot of people were confused. I don't know what happened on the scheduling end of things, but a lot of people weren't expecting us in the room. So you can imagine the two of us show up with a lot of, to them, who is just Brady, the kid from Sex and the City, adorned all over a set of silk pajamas, a lunchbox. If you open that up, you got apples with his face printed on it. You got a deck of cards we're throwing at them with his face printed on it. And then, all of a sudden, you release 1,000 wild rats with little masks, specifically built for rats, of his face, into a room, a couple of network execs. I mean, these people, they're so coddled. They live in such a heightened, cloistered, you know, false version of the world. They've got no idea what to do in this situation. And neither did we. We had not released the rats before. Tell you who did know what to do. The kid who played Brady.
Fucking A. Kid was a dynamo. Real joy on set. Now, the original draft, which I think I alluded to, was 3,000 pages long, didn't have any sex in it, and it almost immediately got shot back to our desk. They hadn't read it, first of all, which was a bit of an affront to a lot of hard work we did. But
you got to respect their senses that in spite of not having read it, they knew there was no sex.
They knew there was
it.
No sex in it because they managed to do a bit of a control F, try and find the word sex in there. I refused to put it in because of my prudish upbringing. Which eventually led me to the...
So we said, there's not enough sex for you?
Illuminati.
Well, take this. And we changed out the word city for the word sex. So all the stuff about the city was now about sex. But in doing so, we took out all of the city. They said that's not going to work either. So we then took the script back. We divided it into two halves. Half sex, half city. The first half, all the characters, the descriptions, the action... The dialogue was just the word sex. So if you can imagine this scene, as it was written, would just be sex, 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 sex. The people in the background, they're no longer in a cafe. They're fucking. Or, if they're dining by themselves, masturbating.
Just want to say that necklace that we've got on Kim Cattrall at the moment is Luciferian. It's actually a penis going into a vagina. That's what that is.
It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. There's another win from me.
Yeah, that was a big win, actually.
Team Satanism.
You got a lot of agendas you were trying to get into this film, Tim.
Yes. Gay agenda. Satanist agenda. My agenda.
Yeah, you kept trying to get a shot of your calendar in there.
Yeah.
Was that?
I thought it was very important that everyone get on board with my agenda. Here it is. 4:30 a.m. rise. 4:45, first coffee of the day. 5 a.m. I'm off for a run. 4 kilometers. Don't go too hard, but go very, very fast.
4 kilometers at full speed.
5:30, you're in the shower. Start cold, get to warm, never go hot. By 6 a.m. you want to be sat down at the breakfast table, tucking into human noses, preferably. If you can't obtain them, pig snouts will do. It's going to get you through the day. Then I'm on my Underwood typewriter from about 7 in the morning to 7 at night, and then off to bed. Those are the weekdays.
The weekends?
You get everything in reverse. The AM becomes PM.
So you get up at 4 p.m., 4:30 p.m.
Yes.
Have a coffee at 4:45 p.m.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, here's a fun fact about Smith Jarrett. I fucked the ever-loving shit out of him on set.
How was that?
Fantastic.
Is
the
he
man,
good lover?
He's an electric lover. He's very generous.
Dumb as a sack of hammers, though, that man.
I have got... nothing to say about this movie.
Smith Jarrett, can't even remember the man who plays him. This is how wafer thin he was as an intellect on screen, or on set, rather. What I'm trying to say is this man is a dum-dum. We were giving him very specific directions because we'd be like, you start here and just walk over to Samantha and deliver the line. And he would say things like, how do I walk? And we'd have to block out how the left foot goes in front of the right foot when a human walks. It's the strangest thing. I've never experienced anything quite like it.
Yeah, when you say that, it did sort of, the way we had sex did now, with hindsight, feel a little bit exploitative on my end.
Yeah.
This big muscle-bound man, exhausted from a day of learning how to walk. And me, you know, running around Los Angeles with a lot of mirrors.
Yeah, it's exhausting, thirsty work. It's hard trying to teach a grown man how to walk, especially when you're laden down with that many mirrors. Now, this is our introduction of Dante into the film. This is where we got a big win for... once we kind of cottoned on to the fact that we need to insert some sex into the script, we came up with this idea of transforming Samantha into a total voyeur. They weren't fully enamored with the idea. The teams of directors stacked on top of each other inside trench coats, led by Mattress Pikelet King. But once we started to lead them down the garden path of saying it'll be very tastefully shot, we won't see too much peen, but we'll see just enough. No full cooch. We'll get some titties in there. They started to warm to the idea. And before you know it, we've got a recurring through line of one of the main gals just staring at her neighbour having sex every night. It's exciting. It's avant-garde. And yet somehow a timeless cinematic concept. Yeah. Perving. There's the original subtitle for this one. It's like how...
you'll notice...
You know how Star Wars is called Star Wars A New Hope?
Mm-hmm.
But everyone just calls it Star Wars. Maybe they gave them that subtitle afterwards. This was supposed to be Sex in the City, perving.
Sex in the City, Sex in the City, the film, the film.
Sex in the City and the movie, perving.
You'll notice, for how big this closet is, not a mirror to be seen.
Good point. Would have scared the Chris's too much. Can't worry the Chris's.
Absolutely. Chris Noth, a lot of people don't know this, because a lot of people think of Chris Pine, Chris Pratt, these guys as the...
Chris Evans?
Yeah, Chris Evans, as the Chris's. Chris Noth includes himself in that conversation.
Yeah, he shouldn't, because no one else does. I don't know, man. You ever get the feeling you've seen your own work too much?
Absolutely, man.
Like, just, at some point, it's too much. It's an assault. We need more wine. I'm not looking forward to the Chilean $10 bottle that I've procured. I don't foresee good things.
I think it's going to be great.
Let me hold that glass for you.
A fun detail about Samantha's character in this film is...
she sucks.
Not that, but we sort of thought, well, she lives in Los Angeles, but why don't we remove that as an interesting plot element by having her literally spend her entire life in New York? A lot of the time we'd think of a clever idea or something that might, you know, function in terms of story or plot development, and then we'd figure out a way to take it away, because that way we've earned the right to do it.
Just missed, sorry, the shot of Noel Fielding on the shelf there, who we dressed up as Joan Jett to recreate that famous... album art for I Love Rock and Roll, I think it was.
Yeah.
That is Noel Fielding, if anyone's curious at home.
Like this. For those of you not watching along with us, I was just singing a lyric from the Aerosmith Run DMC mashup, Walk This Way, a song we decided to use for a fun montage in which Carrie would try on various different outfits, both from the movie that we hadn't seen before and also that were worn during the TV show. Sort of as a nod or a homage to the fans who we are otherwise taking the absolute fucking piss out of.
And the hardest bit for me of the whole production of this film, I think, was trying to do everyone's charts. When you have an ensemble cast, there are a lot of birthdays in the mix, a lot of competing signs, a lot of risings that you have to coordinate. And it actually adds a tremendous amount of expense when you can only shoot with two people at a time, but there's sort of four main characters in a movie and you've got to digitally stitch it together at the end. But when you've got a Cancer with Taurus rising, a straight Virgo, a Aquarius, and a fucking Scorpio all in the same film and leading roles, there's no way, and you would be a mad person to try and get them to be in the same place at the same time while you shot. You couldn't do it. So that's why I'll forever be grateful to the artists in the CGI department who managed to stitch all this together to make it appear like the girls are appearing at the same time. I'll forever be grateful for them.
Yeah.
Forever.
We do owe them a debt of gratitude. After it turned out we'd gone well over budget, and of the 250 hours of takes we'd approved for use in the film, 249 hours of them were unusable. They were left with an hour and a half, not just of images to render, but story to patch up. Without wanting to give away too much of the stuff that they inserted of their own volition, outside of what we'd scripted and shot, pretty much the entire middle section of the movie is theirs. So we did the opening gambit with the introduction of the characters, the sort of cursory oversight of where the Sex and the City world and universe was, and we also did the credits. Otherwise, you know, while we can talk and speculate about what happened on set, this is pretty much all CGI. And honestly, they fought pretty hard to get this entered as an animated feature in the Oscars, or at least if only not as the best animated feature, best animation.
Mm. Disney blocked them, of course.
Oh, and so did we. We said, well, then everyone's going to know about the errors we made.
Yeah.
And they said, well, they kind of should.
Disney, of course, famously aligned with the Illuminati, so they knew that they could sort of get on Camp Timbo. And I'd seen some of the big wigs at Temple.
Now, here's an interesting thing to remember when you're watching this scene. So
few favours owed by some pretty high-up people in the organisation, if you know what I mean. Sorry, off you go, Monty.
You sign a non-disclosure agreement, you're not even meant to say that. But
that's true.
The people who you're talking about know who they are, and they will be quivering in their boots. So we had a bit of trouble getting this scene off the ground, if only because the actor playing Steve Brady kept saying, I'm not married to her, I haven't cheated on her.
Yeah.
And we'd say, well, it's... as it may be, that's not necessarily relevant for what we're trying to capture here, which is the experience of your character being married to her and your character having cheated on her. And he said...
he said, I haven't.
I haven't and I won't. And we said, okay, feels like you're repeating the same point here. Are you married in real life? He said, no. We said, have you cheated on anyone in real life? He said, no. And we sort of came to loggerheads and... as we've just mentioned, all of that was CGI.
Very difficult man to work with. And I'm not quite sure how he managed to get through the entire series of Sex and the City without sort of being familiar with what the concept of acting is.
To his credit, he'd show up every day.
He'd show up every day, and then we'd have to digitally erase him. Lovely man, though. Phenomenal. Huge, beautiful penis.
Yeah, and seriously taut buttocks. The guy is an undercover hottie. Not even undercover, because he is outwardly attractive, but he's more sneaky hot.
Sneaky hot. Of course, we can see in the back of shot here, Brady playing with a sort of commando G.I. Joe man, getting some cues from a military figure on how to command an army.
What you can't see is an earpiece in his right ear in which Tim was whispering various different instructions on what to do with the action figure.
Throw his arm up in the air, put a fist up there. It's an old Illuminati symbol. This is a bit of the film. We're at sort of the 38-minute mark now, folks. Where certain storylines start to unravel, and we are testing the audience at this point, it's got to be said.
We weren't just testing the audience, we were testing ourselves. It sort of became like a...
what's happened? Let's bring people up to speed. If you're watching this track without the accompanying movie, what do we got right now? We've got a marriage in turmoil. Steve has just announced that he's been cheating on his beloved Miranda.
That's right. Charlotte and Harry have been given absolutely nothing to work with. They are happily and boringly married while raising an adopted daughter. Carrie and Big are at somewhat loggerheads over the planning of their wedding, which was meant to be small and has grown into something much larger. And then, that's everyone, is it? No.
Samantha Jones,
living in Los Angeles, voyeuristically watching her neighbor Dante have sex with a variety of women, falling out of love with her life with Smith Jarrett very slowly but surely.
That synopsis took about 30, 40 seconds.
That's right.
We could have saved so much time. Well, if we treated the whole movie like we treated the montage at the start.
People keep saying this, and I say the same thing to you. I said to them, I have regrets.
Regrets, I have a few. Chris Noth really showing his Oscar-worthy acting chops here. That's phenomenal.
That was an improv.
Get him in all black. He looks like a floating head in this scene. Black eyebrows, jet black hair. He's got a black shirt on, black pants. He's just got this slightly... he's got a beautiful tanned olive face, just floating.
Is it interesting to you to think that all of these people worked very hard to get to where they are in life and in their careers? Like Chris Noth, Sarah Jessica Parker, when they signed up for the TV show Sex and the City, no idea what it would become. And then they ride the highs of what it is, you know, through the days when they're genuinely making a difference. Cultural and critical darling. Moving the conversation forward, really contributing to society at large, to the cynical cash grab that we orchestrated and executed in this film.
It's Hollywood, baby. This is the train, isn't it? Everyone's doing important work at the start and everyone's collecting a big old important check at the end. There's a poetry to that, you know?
I just can't believe that this...
Ashes to ashes... importance to checks.
There's another hour and 40 minutes of this film to go, and what I'm
absurd to me.
What I'm wondering, wait, it's even longer.
Jesus Christ.
An hour and 50 minutes.
Boy howdy.
I feel sick to my stomach at the thought of that.
That is truly terrifying. Really scary.
And all I've had today so far, two pieces of toast, half an avocado, three tomatoes, and a banana.
Well, it feels like as the list went on, I was like, well, that's not so bad.
A lot of soft foods.
Yeah. Are you a bit worried about the toilet situation that you may be brewing?
No, I think the toilet situation is going to be fine. I have had two coffees, but I've also had two poos. I'm mostly worried about the unholy amount of wine I've realised I'm going to consume to make this experience enjoyable, at least for myself.
Should we be able to get crack? I feel like we might be a bit behind. We're so busy gasbagging over here, we're not paying enough attention to the wine. Which, by the way, can I just say, beautiful notes of, red wine.
It does taste like red wine.
We're going to get through this?
Yeah. I want to hold on to your hand for a little while, Tim. Physical intimacy is important.
Yeah.
What
is that song? We're going to get through this.
Daniel Bedingfield.
We're going to get through this.
I'm going to make it through. Hey,
is that Kiwi?
Get through this. I gotta get through this. He is a Kiwi. I think one of those people born in New Zealand, largely raised elsewhere. But we happily claim him as our own when he's doing well, and when he's not, we still claim him as our own. Oh my fuck!
Alright, here's where we're at, everybody. Engagement dinner. Sorry, rehearsal dinner for the wedding, day before the wedding, which is very high stakes, a real hangover style, like putting something too close before the big day. And, lo and behold, it does blow up in their fucking face. Because this is where the seed is planted by Miranda telling Big, don't know what you guys are doing. Marriage ruins everything. Smith Garrett trying to smoke a fucking stogie like Duke Nukem cracks me up every time I see it. He is a boy in men's clothing.
That's right. He kept putting it in his mouth and going,
you're not Arnie, mate. Admit it. You can't smoke a cigar like that. Just smoke it normally in the crook of your index finger. It's not for you, mate. Your hands aren't big enough.
What's it like being married, Tim?
Oh, look. It's bliss. It's great. Someone's got your back.
That's so great. That makes me really happy.
Everyone should go get married. Find the next person you see. Go get hitched to them.
Marriage isn't some archaic, outdated notion of, you know, long-term commitment and monogamy. It's a beautiful lease on life in which you find someone you love, cherish, and care for. They feel the same for you, and you support one another through the hard times and the good.
unless you get a dress gifted to you by Vivian Westwood, in which case it becomes a sort of avatar for your own vapidness, devolving into, I mean, a sensationally selfish exchange where you've completely missed the point. And ultimately, as a result of your dwindling years and lessening prospects as time goes on and your looks begin to wither, one of the few assets you have left, a gradual acceptance that you're going to be with this person who you don't particularly love, but, you know, Mr. Big's the only man chasing me now. So I guess I'll settle down and start a lovely little compromise nest.
A lot of people get married for fear of being alone, but sometimes the loneliest we feel is when we're in the company of others. And to me, that's the scariest fucking thing in the world.
A great philosopher once wrote, one is the loneliest number
that you'll ever do.
Not according to Guy Montgomery, for two.
Two can be as bad as one.
As bad as one.
It's the loneliest number after number one. Who wrote that? Harry Nilsson.
Is that true?
And people say he's just a pair of tits. That is true. Harry Nilsson, his career was derailed by the crippling disease that is alcoholism. He was one of the most gifted songwriters and performers in the history of music.
Wow.
But couldn't quite get it together. He also sang that song, you put the lime in the coconut, you drink it all up, you put the lime in the coconut, you call the doctor, wake him up, and say, doctor, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take, I say,
doctor.
Singing before the hour mark has to be an all-time low for
the
lads.
Yeah, that's not good. Do you know, every time I hear that song, that reminds me of Practical Magic. Now that is a film.
I haven't seen it. It reminds me of my dad. He used to love saying that.
It's a good song. I could imagine Stephen belting that out, shirtless, making some pancakes for the kids on a Saturday morning.
I am disappointed to reflect upon how little of my childhood was spent with my dad shirtless. That fucking prude was always tops and bottoms on. You know when you're
really making up for lost time, aren't you?
I am.
Getting,
I remember,
your dick out on stage.
Oh, when did I do that?
It's happened. I was there.
Oh, but that was in service of a joke.
It's true.
That wasn't just a dick out on stage. That wasn't me going, my dad was clothed.
Take this.
Yeah. When you're younger, you know how much time you can spend in the water? If you go to the beach, if you're at a pool, it's like literally.
Funnily enough, I frequently had this conversation with my wife who grew up at the beach.
Yeah.
And she said, it's just amazing. I used to get out there, I'd just be out there all day.
And then your dad or your mum might come in for a swim and you're like, yes, finally, this is going to be amazing. We're going to spend 3, 4, 5 hours in here. Are you kidding me? And they only want 4 to 5 minutes of pool time,
but
beach time.
Do you think it's the perception of time? You know what I mean? Like, do you think when you're a kid, you're actually in there for the same amount of time, but
five minutes
was an hour?
I mean, yes, the perception of time does play some degree, but genuinely, have you spent time with kids around pools? They will stay in them until they are, like, hypothermic.
True.
The
kids love water.
Completely pruned, sick, shivering, blue lips.
Poisoned by the chlorine. Bleached by the bleach, which I add to my pool.
That's right.
So, I guess
the wedding day's tomorrow. Big's experiencing doubts.
Thanks.
And I don't want to spoil anything for those of you who haven't listened to any of the podcasts before, haven't seen the movie. Somehow, listening after 50 minutes of absolute rubbish to this podcast, Big's going to jilt Carrie. And
not our best work, this, is it?
No, it's had its little moments, though.
Sometimes you throw some wine and a full head of steam in the mix. The other thing about this room is when you spend too much time in it, it becomes completely filled with CO2 and completely devoid of oxygen, which I think is a cognitive impairer rather than enhancer.
Well, what about we get some fresh air in the room?
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Literally nothing to stop that from happening.
It's just me getting up, opening a door.
You gonna do it?
It's a little treat I'm going to save for the hour mark. We're allowed to exhale in 10 minutes. Okay. Big moment for the Sex and the City franchise, this. Carrie Bradshaw, the perennial single gal. She is a shining beacon of fucking, dating, and, you know, meeting guys. And now here she is on her big wedding day, finally. What a image, what a vision.
That's right. Mr. Big, however, is not doing so well. He has found out that I've left a mirror in the bathroom of his trailer. That's not Mr. Big, that's Chris Noth. And we filmed him trying to call someone to press charges and then overdubbed it with dialogue in which he was freaking out towards Carrie. My God, Tim.
Seems so expensive. Seems like such an expensive way to go about things. He wasn't happy, though. It turns out, though, and we can say this definitively, there's no law against making someone sort of look at themselves in a mirror if you don't use physical force, which we didn't. So charges were dropped. We got a movie out of it, and you got treated to that gorgeous scene of Big on his phone. There was a man standing in the back there in a very father of the bride posture, which I've never noticed before, smiling on in a wedding suit. Who's that fucking guy?
I don't know, but it is good.
I didn't cast him.
None of these characters have parents.
Dark, man. Well, we know that Steve's got a mum with advancing Alzheimer's that is mentioned in the script.
Otherwise?
I didn't put that in. I've not heard a word of in either film. But that actually is in fitting with the lore of the franchise, which is that all four of the gals spawned forth from a plant rather than being born of man, which is why we follow their adventures.
Look, we have a lot
of... You ever heard the phrase, two peas in a pod?
Yeah, man.
Sex and the City is where that came from. Because Samantha and Carrie came out of the same pod.
You're 5 years old. You're only allowed to ask five people to your birthday party.
Here it goes.
Who are they?
Oh. 5 years old? I've got no memory of... Well, all right. I can soak up three spots with my siblings.
No, you're not allowed siblings.
Far out. Maybe you should answer this question first and I'll get in the wake.
Sam Manson.
Shout out.
Yeah. That friendship soured.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Not 5 years later, he pushed me into the urinal when we both went on a toilet break during class. I went back upstairs, my front absolutely covered in urine, water and urine. I said to our teacher, Trish Daniels, I said, Trish, Sam pushed me into the urinal. She said, don't blame other people, guy. You had a little accident.
Seriously?
Yeah, you reckon that stuck with me?
It really seems like it has. That's fucked up, man, but also sensationally funny on his behalf. Why isn't he a stand-up comedian?
Sam Manson, Christian Armstrong, Kit Hunter Welsh.
Shout out.
I'm 5 years old. Who are my friends? Sam Idle and Dunn. I used to love that kid.
Shout out.
I used to love him, but I also didn't like him because he was a faster runner than me. Mm-hmm. And running fast was one of the things that I thought was like a key attribute to my personality.
So they call him the Flash.
And Ben Pryor.
Shout out.
Pretty shit birthday party.
Yeah?
What are you going to talk about at five?
Probably trying to make amends after pushing your mate in the urinal. I reckon that is sensationally funny, though. That's a good wicket from him.
10 years old. You're allowed five people at your birthday party. Who are they?
Oh, fuck me, mate. I mean, I'm not sure that this makes for the most blisteringly hot audio content, but Luke Parker's in there for sure.
That's what I want.
His dad works for I think they're called BMG, and they were like some sort of subgroup connected with Sony, and he had a PlayStation before anyone. Remember spending a lot of time playing PlayStation at his place.
Having a PlayStation at a young
age... Tim Morton?
Before we give a shout out to Tim Morton, can I just say that having a PlayStation at a young age, I think, is a lot like being a celebrity when you're older, where it's very difficult to tell who is friends with you for who you are.
Very true.
And who is friends with you for your status or ownership of a gaming console.
Yeah. It's a hard one to tease out, but I think you care less when you're a kid too. You're just like, ah, fuck, I'll take it.
Doesn't make a difference. You're at my house.
A little bit less self-analysis. Maybe there's something we can all learn from the child inside us.
And you, as the guest, are going, but this isn't fair because you always get to play. It's at your house.
Daniel Dixon.
Shout out.
Shout out.
What's Dan Dix doing now?
Fuck, who knows, mate? Haven't looked him up. No idea. He's good value. Probably Mark Gibson.
Yeah.
He's definitely there. Shout out.
Shout the fuck out.
Most of the people I've just named, in fact, I think all of them, and I formed a sort of a tribute act to the Spice Girls, and not once but twice.
Called the Herb Boys.
We won talent contests, performing as the Spice Girls, the five of us.
Amazing.
Guess which girl I was?
Baby.
No, sporty. It's the only one of us who could do a cartwheel.
Really?
Yeah.
What were they teaching those 10-year-old boys that they could not cartwheel?
Emotional crescendo of Sex and the City and the City, the movie. Fuck. This is a moment of high drama. We have used slow motion in the film for the first time as Carrie Bradshaw slams her bridal bouquet into Mr. Big's stupid face while Charlotte grabs her like a mama bear clutching a threatened cub to her bosom, ushering her to safety. We have tears, we have screaming, we have disappointment and a broken heart.
One of the strongest bits of acting in the movie, that, when Charlotte chastises Big for jilting her friend, and rightly so, to be honest. If someone jilted one of my close friends, I would be ropeable.
It's no good. It's no good what he's done.
Did you experience any nerves or cold feet on your wedding day?
No, none.
Pure excitement.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Definitely. No, I don't get the cold feet thing, eh? I find it very...
Did Zoe?
Well, not that I know of. Yeah. But you'd have to ask her, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't...
I've asked her. She said no to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You might get a different answer.
No, I don't think I would. You're very happily married. But that's not to say you don't still experience cold feet on the day. You have little moments, little freakouts, you know, that aren't actually representative of how you feel. It's
just your brain laying out an alternative reality.
I'm
not here to say, like, if you do get cold feet, that that's not a perfectly normal reaction to a wedding day. It's so common that it's got its own terminology. Cold feet. I'm just saying I didn't get it. But that's because I tend to... I do some scary things, so I try to like make them not scary in my head. You know, getting on stage and performing, that's scary for most people. You just got to compartmentalize a little bit. Yeah, this will be fine. Don't worry about it.
What's the
Keep your biscuit.
What's the etymology of cold feet?
Maybe it's like having wobbly legs or something when you're nervous.
Knock-kneed.
Yeah.
Cold feet.
It's an interesting one.
Who's to fucking say? I am so grateful to those of you who are listening along with us right now. And I'm also so sorry.
Yes, I'd like to echo those sentiments.
I just don't know what to say to you. Like, sometimes you get in the room and the alchemy, it's not off, but it's also not on.
What star sign are you, guys?
I'm so happy to be next to Tim. I'm so happy to be drinking wine with my friend. But I'm so upset at what is transpiring on the screen in front of us. And we are trapped between just genuinely talking to each other and having a good time and catching up and honoring the concept that we're talking about or over this movie. And honestly, the whole situation is no man's land. It is a fucking mess out here. Nothing we're saying is of interest, not just to you, but to us. How do you think we feel? It's 10 times worse.
Here's the problem. One of us is always in this kind of shallow, but very rarely do both of us find ourselves in the ditch, and yet here we are. It's coincided.
Well, let's implement some positive thinking techniques.
Let's get some strategies in the mix. Let's go at it. What star sign are you?
Libra.
Libra. What's Libra all about? Is that the weigher?
It's the scales of justice.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's what I say. I said that to someone who does astrology recently. They said, that's not what it is. Oh. I said, definitely is.
And they said, you're wrong?
Yeah, but I said, to be fair, I'm right.
What did they say it is?
I didn't listen. I'm obsessed with the idea I'm the scales of justice. 10 alternative names for Carrie Bradshaw. Margaret Middleston.
Stumbled at the first hurdle.
Felicity Huffman.
Ruby Knox.
Andrea Killeen.
Sarah.
Nigel.
Bad time to even mention it. Uh-huh. No. Find another time. Later.
Uh-huh. Well, it turns out I couldn't get her out of the honeymoon, but I got us in.
What?
I just booked us 3 seats on the flight. Mexico? Here we come.
I can't go to Mexico. I have a job.
Very recently, I was just looking at it.
And we're back. Little technical glitch.
Yeah, you'll be upset to hear that was not a strategy meeting in which we regrouped and planned how to make the remaining hour and a half of this recording more enjoyable. It was a minor technical glitch.
Should probably note for my own technical prowess later, 58.56, 58.57, 58.58. Anyway,
it was important to us that we took the characters outside of New York City, famously the 6th character in the franchise, and to Mexico. Otherwise, it was going to be very difficult to put in some slight racism, which, for whatever reason, it felt like we should put into the film, if only to represent the time and place we were at culturally in 2008.
It's the 4 tentpoles of doing a big budget film. You've got to sell it to young adults who have got that disposable teenage income from their after-school jobs without having to pay rents or mortgages. You've got mums and dads who need a date night out. You've got the elderly who are on a pension with a lot of time to fill and need some entertainment product. And, of course, racists who have inherited tremendous wealth from their forebears, presumably who have stolen it.
Yeah, built on the backs of hurtful and harmful ideology.
But that's how you get a movie made these days. Those are the 4 groups of people you got to appeal to, you see. See, making movies, it ain't so hard. You've just got to get out all of your morals and hit pause on them. Hit pause? You keep going. You hit pause on the morals.
Slow down.
This was the first time Sarah Jessica Parker's appeared on screen sans makeup. We call it El Natural. Which actually means the natural in Spanish, surely. Doesn't make any fucking sense,
does
it?
That's right. That does mean the natural. Now, Tim and I slept in this bed for a week. They filmed around us. When we first arrived in Mexico, we went on a huge Oxycontin binge. Did not end well for either of us.
Well, you say it didn't end well. The thing about that is, if you analyse the experience that we had on our Oxy bender, from just the end point, sure, it didn't like ultimately end well, but the memories that I've taken out of that 7-day voyage of discovery through a beautiful land of Mexico, they will last me a lifetime.
Well, hallucinatory as they may be, that is true.
Well, did we or did we not go to the most stunning display of luchador wrestling that you've ever seen in your life?
Well, in a sense we did, in that we visualized it, but in another sense we didn't leave the room for 7 days, Tim, so no, we did not.
Riddle me this. Did we or did we not Matador show second to none?
The answer's going to be the same, isn't it? Because, again, we did indeed share that experience, which I think...
Final question, were we at a J-Lo concert in Guadalajara, Mexico? Yes or no?
Well, that was the one time we left the room, and it was sensational. Jennifer Lopez really brought it. A back catalogue of nothing but the biggest hits, including guest appearances by none other than Ja Rule.
R.I.P.
Ben Affleck, who was her partner at the
shout
time.
Out.
Yeah, huge shout out to Ben Affleck. He couldn't sing, but he did deliver all of Matt Damon's lines from Good Will Hunting. We said, why is he doing Matt Damon's lines? He didn't explain it. It was incredible.
Is that true that they were together in 2008?
Who's to fucking say?
Yeah, literally no one. So don't look that up, fuckers.
Tim, I love you. I love you so much. I have so much respect for you. I really love the way you live your life. I do. I think you've got a great heart. You've got a really good energy. When people meet you, they're excited to get to know you. You've got a warmth to you that cannot be taught. It cannot be bought. It is entirely yours. But what you're doing to me and what we're doing to each other is not healthy.
No.
Neither of us are in a good place right now.
Let me repay the compliment because I feel like I really left you hanging out there.
No.
It wasn't nice.
I know. I hear you. I don't want a compliment.
I know.
I want one during this record.
Sure.
But if we both give out our really generous compliments now,
it takes away from what you've done.
It doesn't do that. It's just what's left for us.
Oh, I see.
Compliments are nice to give and to receive.
Well, God, there will be a little something waiting for you a little bit later on, unless I forget, in which case I will feel very bad.
I won't mind that.
Right now, it's time for more shit fuel to get into Charlotte's gob, because a misplaced blame has been laid with some Mexican cuisine, or actually the water supply, isn't it? Whereas, in fact, this is an answer to the question, if one consumes nothing but chocolate pudding while on holiday, will one retain the solidity of shit one which one is accustomed? The answer to that is no.
Credit a friend of the podcast, Mitra Johari, for accurately pointing out that the misguided notion within the world of the film that the water that Charlotte gets in her mouth during a shower is what made her sick is wrong. Truth be told, you go to Mexico and eat nothing but chocolate pudding from Poughkeepsie, upstate New York, for a week, your insides are going to become ruined, very fluid. There's nothing to keep that stuff in there. There's too much fiber.
There's a lack of viscosity is what there is.
Straight through.
You need viscous shit, everyone.
Like
it's important.
Like a kid in a hydro slide. That thing's going to come out of the bottom with no control.
But even worse, it'd be like Jell-O going down a hydro slide.
Oh,
it's disgusting, isn't it? Wish I was on a hydro slide right now. Surrounded by water, these women refuse to get in the pool, despite the fact that they're all in their bathers. What's going on there?
They're adults. They don't understand how much fun there is to be had in water.
That is fucking true, eh? It's so weird. Kids get it. There's a few things that kids get.
Absolutely.
Number one, racism is a social construction that should not be bought into. It is not a natural proclivity that children possess. It must be taught to them. And number two, the water's for getting in. It's not for sitting around.
As adults, so often we say, I wish there was a pool. I wish I was near a body of water. How about you change the framework and the structure of what you're saying to, I wish I was in the pool. I wish
Get
I was in a body of water.
The amount
Do you know
of
what's
time
crazy?
I spend at the beach in my 30s sitting on the sand next to the water is fucking insane.
Do you want
to
get in? I'm waiting.
I'll go in for 40 seconds followed by 2 more hours of lying on the sand.
You know the incredible miracle that is being in a body of water? You are weightless. Your body, as it exists in the real world, takes on an entirely different form. You are literally floating in as close to what is a representation of zero gravity or space as we have, so long as we're bound to Earth. And yet, we'd rather spend our time waiting to get to the right temperature before we climb into the body of water. It is a disgrace. It is a humiliation. To all of the children listening to this podcast, I say this. Please give us some notes. We're running out of ideas. Mm. Send in some finger paintings.
Mm-hmm. Luckily for you, Guy Montgomery, we do have the good book here with us.
Mm.
The Sex and the City and the movie book. Here we've got a lovely photo of SJP. These photos are fucking phenomenal. Look at that. Look at how crisp that is. Look at that. Look at that photo. There's a caption there. Can you read that aloud?
At the end of the trip, finally ready to face her mailbox full alert, Carrie checked her messages. But she went when she heard Big's voice, she impulsively threw her phone off a cliff.
Do you know what we should do? We should follow along with the book because I think this is set out sort of chronologically with the film. In fact, we've really missed a trick by not having it open from the start. So this book, if you missed the introduction of said text into this podcast project, came from The City Tip in the nation's capital of Wellington, courtesy of my older brother John. Went to the fucking dump where people get rid of all the things they don't want in their life anymore. And what did he find at the shop? The Sex and the City, the movie book.
And what luck. Here we have Michael Patrick King saying, in the Mexico sequence, I initially had Carrie taking full responsibility for what happened to her, but then I decided she wouldn't have come to that understanding the day after being jilted. So instead, I turned it into a we hate men scene. There needed to be an element of margaritas and fun, but without taking it to a girls gone wild level. That, of course, is soon to come when Charlotte Poughkeepsie's in her pants.
Girls gone wild moment would be more like if they all got some new fellas.
Absolutely.
Can we get some more wine in this situation, Monty, if it's possible?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Definitely going to sneeze. Here it comes.
Please take that burst of energy to the door and get some fresh air in this.
It's probably been an hour. We've earned it. Crickets, both reflective of the fabulous temperature we're enjoying in the summer of New Zealand and the boredom that we face watching this film. It's for both. Cheers. Here's to, you know. Oh, it tastes weird at the bottom. Got some sediment or something. That $10 bottle of red that I've bought, I don't think it's going to be a bloody scratch on this.
I reckon it's going to be okay. This was $14 from a liquor shop at 9:40 a.m. on a Monday.
You're really setting a strong character for yourself walking in buying a bottle of red before 10 a.m.
Sorry, I meant p.m.
Oh, okay, sweet. Well, that's perfectly normal.
So I suppose at this point we're meant to be invested in Carrie finding her feet and becoming, you know, comfortable and open to the idea of returning to the real world, facing her fears of a public humiliation in the name of being jilted by Mr. Big, and sort of taking ownership of her property again, which was sold and rebought, as though that is something that we, the movie-going public, can empathise with. But truth be told, at this point, what you're probably thinking as a movie-going person is like, why the fuck are we in Mexico if no one's going for a swim?
Why are we in Mexico sitting by the water? Get in that Mexican ocean. What's the ocean that Mexico has? What's that one?
I think it's mostly salt water.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm quick. Even when I'm slow, I'm quick.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Some birds of paradise in the garden there. A fabulous flower which has evolved over time to look like a bird to stop other birds pecking at it. Is that true? Probably.
You retain a lot of information.
That is unhelpful.
It's true. Isn't it interesting? Wouldn't it be great if we could sort of, I guess you can control the way you file memories and what you remember and what you forget.
I don't think you can.
You think it's just constantly in disarray? You have no control?
Well, I wouldn't say disarray, but I don't think you've got a good command over your style of retention. You know what?
You think
and this will date this a little bit, but we are both demonstrably clutching at straws for topics right now. Was reading about a couple who have been twins, genetically modified humans, human babies, who were created using a technique called CRISPR by some Chinese scientists under the guise of increasing their, how do you say, effectiveness of not getting HIV, right? Protect them from HIV at a genetic level, which just so happens to have the side effect of making them super intelligent. And everyone's like, you guys are full of shit. You're making super smart babies on purpose. Stop doing that. It's unethical.
Holy heck.
Yeah, scary stuff, man.
It's happening now.
They're born. They're in the world.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Do you think if someone else was to look upon your brain or the way your mind functions or your memories are organized in the same way that might look at your computer or desktop, they would understand the layout?
No.
Or they would think, Jesus fucking Christ, yeah. You've got to rein it in, my guy.
Yeah, definitely. The latter.
I feel like if someone did that to me, they'd see lots of folders neatly named and organized. But then if you open up the folders,
they're empty.
They'd be like, yeah, empty or like... There's a lot of stuff that's been misplaced, misfiled.
And so it's like, you walk into a house and you're like, what a tidy, lovely house. You open one cupboard and it just bursts open.
Exactly. It's about time we introduced Jennifer Hudson to this movie. Hot on the back of winning an Oscar in the year 2007 for her role in Dreamgirls, Jennifer Hudson was actually cast over Kelly Rowland, who the role was originally written for. Mm. The producers thought that Jennifer Hudson was the hotter hand given her recent Oscar victory and her...
Kelly Rowland pass away?
No, she's alive.
That's good.
She's going great.
To hear that. That's very good. Hey, we're in a Starbucks.
Yeah, we're in Starbucks a lot. Starbucks, Smart Water, Sprint Mobile.
But there's no labels out to camera while we're in Starbucks.
You don't need them. It's known we're there. Every time they drink a coffee in this movie, they're drinking it from Starbucks.
When are we getting Peter Kim of PeterKim.com fame on the fucking pod?
When I'm back in New York City, I'm going to take him for a nice Italian meal at the same place where Charlotte's water broke. I'm going to get a microphone for me, a microphone for him. We're going to shoot the fucking shit, my guy.
Magnifique.
Absolutely.
That is going to be hot shit. I need to be there. I think I need to come over to America for that.
Any working actor who has built their own website is a friend of mine.
Absolutely.
And I say that with full confidence because they are not out of my league.
Fuck, I'm looking forward to getting to chat with him. I got to come over for it, eh?
Absolutely.
We got to suss that out. Not cheap, flying from New Zealand to the States.
Nor vice versa.
Yeah, it's essentially the same price, isn't it?
Almost exactly. And the same distance. You're just going in an opposite direction.
Is it slightly different, though, because the world's turning?
No, I don't know.
It's probably the same.
I flew recently 16 hours direct Chicago to Auckland.
Christ alive. That's a lot of time in a plane, isn't it?
Well, it's just incredible, the fact that you can do that at all.
Yeah, isn't it?
I think to look at a map, you know, and say...
Take a map
and look at it. Yeah.
Now, look at Chicago.
Yeah.
Now,
Illinois.
Look at Auckland, New Zealand.
You can get there in less than a day.
That's fucked, eh?
That is crazy.
We've never had that before.
Jennifer Hudson is playing...
What was the first generation to have, like, broad air travel?
Probably our folks.
Wow.
It all happens so quickly, and immediately we take it for granted. And it's important we do. Otherwise, we wouldn't demand more. We'd be happy
with... Delta flight's an hour late. Yeah, welcome to the fucking majesty of being in the skies, cunts.
If we didn't...
Sorry, shouldn't have said the C word.
You're right.
Awful.
That's the thing that sets this podcast apart from the others.
The C word?
I don't know, man.
Look at you. That rat that you're holding, currently dabbing your brow out of exasperation, is that the word I'm looking for? It's from our friend Elsie, who probably doesn't listen to the podcast anymore, but made a sensational Brady the Rat King cosplay herself and gifted us one of the many, how would you say, sewn rats that she made herself by hand. Gorgeous little critter. Soft to the touch. I won't let my dog get it because he will eat this alive.
I don't doubt it.
Killing them both.
It's interesting, actually. I don't know if it's our relationship with the format, the podcast, one another, or this particular movie, but I find it much easier, almost as painful, but much easier to sift, dig, and mine for material to talk about in watching and instead reflecting upon the movie than I do in discussing the happenings of the movie as they unfold in front of us. I have not felt so bereft of ideas and inspiration around Sex and the City, the movie, as I do right now. And it's not that they're, you know, not throwing up offers.
Did we miss Lin-Manuel Miranda's appearance?
We just did then, but don't worry,
fuck.
He's back and
there
better
he is,
than ever.
Right there. In the cap, that was him, right? In the hallway?
Yeah.
Fucking great stuff. He's met Obama lots of times. That's pretty cool. He's also, like, made a tremendous body of work himself, but...
You go on a date with Carrie Bradshaw. You are peripherally aware of her as an author, a sexual anthropologist, as she describes herself in the first episode of Sex and the City, the TV show.
Oh, look who's been watching the pilot.
It's a good pilot. It's a good show. Honestly, the fact that I'm reducing the component parts of it, the series, to this is... It's more an indictment.
What's your question, Guy?
Are you nervous? Do you go in with any pre-prepared questions? What are you going to talk to her about?
So, what's the premise? I'm on a date.
Yeah, first date. Well, you know who she is.
I am terrified that my wife is going to find out about this, so I enter with fear.
You are not married to...
I'm not.
You're not married.
What's happened?
In this hypothetical situation.
I'm a widower.
You're not
Zoe's
a widower.
Passed away.
Jesus Christ. Absolutely not. You're not a widower. You are just not in a relationship. You never met Zoe. You are still single. Right. You're out there. You want to meet someone, form a meaningful connection. You go on a date with sexual anthropologist Carrie Bradshaw. Mm-hmm. What do you talk about? Do you think you have a connection? Do you think there's a chance for you guys to get to it?
Fascinated to hear what it's like to be a professional writer.
Interesting. Good angle.
You know?
Probably a lot of talk about the creative process, the challenges of being in charge of your own time, being accountable to no one but yourself. You know, sometimes very relaxed boss, other times real taskmaster. Never entirely happy with my output.
Not just the method, but the topics as well, you know. That's what you want to drill into. Sexual anthropologist. It's interesting. It's an interesting title to bestow upon yourself, isn't it?
Absolutely. But you can see how it works, you know. This is America. This is the home of capitalism.
If someone introduced themselves to me as a sexual anthropologist, I would assume that they had looked at the sexual habits of humans over, you know, millennia.
Rather than
like a contemporary... It's more of a sort of a sociologist of... Well, it's just a sociologist, isn't it? Sex is a part of that.
Anthropology is the study of people, though, right?
I don't know. I thought it was the study of people over, as a species, sort of over time. Who's to say? We're just two boys enjoying a bit of red wine and some other stuff in front of our 25th watch of Sex and the City and the City, the movie. Here's Samantha Jones with the weather. It's a fucking good belt, that. Another Luciferian symbol I managed to sneak in. It is the serpent, ladies and gentlemen. Known for its power. And that's about it, actually. Snakes don't take shit from no one.
I love, A, Samantha's hair in this scene. B, the cafe front behind the payphone in which Carrie is talking to her.
Soft focus, everyone, if you're pitching it in your head.
It's a little sort of baby blue wooden storefront with racks of red wine on the wall behind. It seems like a sort of mom and pop operation.
Speaking of sacking red wine, you should probably do that.
All right.
We've got some red wine to get through, friend. Cheers. Here's to you, sacking red wine.
Tim, far out, man. I don't know what to say. I got back with you. Do you know, I got back with you because I missed you.
Mm.
And it served it served a purpose to a point.
Oh, this sucks. You don't like me anymore.
I do still like you. I think the grounds on which the friendship is maintaining are unhealthy.
You don't have to drink the wine. As far as
I'm not talking about the wine.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Dude,
yeah.
Totally
this
not
isn't
about the wine.
This okay.
is not about the
is
wine.
Is this about me?
No, I think, to be honest, if we want this to become interesting,
yes.
Not even for the listener, but for ourselves, we need to talk about why we're so uninterested right
Here's
now.
Here's the thing about it. 24 watches we've clocked up. Maybe we are losing our mental acuity over time as we get older, but there is a distinct challenge about talking about something you're absorbing at the same time. I don't know if any of these directors' commentaries have been good.
I do
remember being... It's sensationally fucked up for the Grown Ups 2 one.
Yeah.
How did that work?
We wore jackets and ties and shirts. And we had a vaporizer on hand.
Oh, I'm thinking of prawn salad again. Because what I was thinking is, I remember there being some very, very esoteric ideas being discussed, but they weren't captured on the podcast. I remember talking about, I got on a tract of coming up with the concept of there being a sort of a, what do they call, like a rapture style scenario. Do you remember that?
Peter?
Absolutely not.
We're talking about big lasers shooting out of the sky and a rapture scenario. And I couldn't quite get the contours of it.
Vague recollections now.
When we got on the actual record itself. But when we were watching, we had a conversation about that. And couldn't quite recapture I couldn't bottle that lightning. So obviously that wasn't a director's commentary, because if it was, it'd be right there for all and sundry to hear. But do you want to perhaps dig a little deep, Guy, and try and analyse what's going on with your inner?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what's going on here. I wasn't dreading doing this with you. I was not necessarily overwhelmingly excited, but I certainly didn't anticipate the heavy and slow feeling that has hung over this record.
Oh,
by the way, Carrie Bradshaw, after posing for a photo shoot in Vogue, is now it's actually not a bad bit of conflict in the movie. Miranda was about to confess to the fact that she feels partially responsible for Big jilting her because she told Big the night before the wedding that marriage ruins everything. Mm. She was about to say as much on Halloween to Carrie in a CVS pharmacy. However, Carrie gets distracted by seeing a magazine on which she features as the last single girl. Of course, this is humiliating now because she has since been jilted, so you can't stop it going to press. But
I love this bit of soundtracking.
I love those leaves. Whoever did those leaves deserves a fucking paycheck. Charlotte is a good friend. I just think...
I totally get the Jackie O thing now as well, now that you've said it.
Yeah.
The wardrobe designer took cues from Jackie Onassis Kennedy for Charlotte's wardrobe. I see it, man. I see it now.
I think we might have just lost perspective.
On the film, the project?
What? Both.
Yeah. Okay.
Everything.
All right. Let's unpack. Pack it up and then unpack it that we've packed.
It feels wide and unwieldy.
Okay.
Feels like it keeps going out at the sides and never goes straight forward, you know?
But here's what we've got to do. I saw this in one of the Superman movies. It was Man of Steel, I think. Make it small. Listen to my voice. Make it small.
Make what small?
The world. It's too big. Make it small.
What do you want to talk about?
The Addams Family. What a bizarre concept. Do you know how the Addams Family got across the line? I think people forget about Addams Family. People our age, they're like, oh, the Addams Family, it was a cartoon. It was a live-action TV show in the 50s, maybe the 60s. And the thing about the Addams Family is, it was another example of Illuminati occult symbology and behavior being displayed on screen under a guise of comedy. Got across the line because of the entrenched Illuminati presence in Hollywood. And I, for one, couldn't be happier that it exists and that I managed to get a reference to it in this here rom-com.
How much of what you just said is true?
Who's to say? It's difficult to tease out.
It's true, actually. I guess if
you're all just words at this point, yeah, right? Yeah. You pour enough red wine down my gullet, words come out.
It's not a bad rule.
We've been to this cafe.
This exact one?
Yeah. Wait, wasn't it? Wasn't this the one we've been to?
We're back in Starbucks, so I don't know that we have. I mean, Starbucks.
You told
Starbucks
me one of these cafes we've been in. I thought it was this one.
We've been at the restaurant that is the rehearsal dinner setting.
Fuck. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, with hindsight, you know, because we did go on the Sex and the City tour, courtesy of Gillian Anthony, who at the time was working for Time Out in New York. Brilliant woman.
Is she not now?
No, she's moved on to bigger and better things, my man. But she
Jillian's
took us on the
fucking cool.
Sex and the City tour, and to be honest, it was largely wasted on us. At the time, the only information we had relevant to the universe of Sex and the City was exclusively provided through Sex and the City 2. A trip to Magnolia Bakery. Sounds fantastic in theory. I do not know what this place has to do with the show.
Yeah.
We went to the same place that they have the rehearsal dinner. I am now familiar with it after seeing Sex and the City. And in fact, the first time I saw it in the movie, I was quite happy because I was like, I remember that. We didn't eat anything. We didn't drink anything there. But
I don't remember being there, mate. To be honest with you,
it's a classic American place.
More wine, Monty?
Absolutely. And that the decor is obviously expensive, but it's wrong.
Yeah. It's a good description.
This is quite racy to me. I haven't spoken with you about it on the podcast before, but
we've just had some exposed female Samantha nipple
Jones
folks on
the screen. Samantha Jones. You can just call them nipples, or can you?
Well, I mean, men have nipples. I think it's important to delineate. Differentiate.
But the reason that you differentiate is because women's nipples have been sexualized.
Well, if someone's listening to the pod and I say an exposed nipples on screen, they could be going, what, a fucking dude's nipple? Why are you telling me? An exposed female nipple, for some reason, highly censored in film. Gets a higher classification slapped on. Men's nipples get that? No, they don't.
Absolutely not. It's not
could
so
you
much...
milk me? What's his name again?
Robert De Niro.
No.
The thing for me is not that they reveal the nipples, but it's that Dante, sexual Adonis that he is, returns from surfing.
Yeah.
The woman, whoever it is that he's seeing at the time, that day, if we're to believe what Samantha Jones believes about him, and why wouldn't we? Because she perves on him every single day.
The line is, a new love for every day.
They hook up on the way out from the water, and on the beach, on a public, open piece of access, he peels her bikini top off and gets her nipples out.
Oh, I see.
Like, if you're sunbathing nude...
Ah, it's LA.
That's okay.
It's Los Angeles. They're Democrats.
Yeah, but you still can't fuck on the beach. Why is it so popular to have sex on the beach, or the idea of it pervades? Cause,
I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
Here's what I think it is. People are like, hey, what's awesome? Sex? Love it. Beach? Also love it. Let's combine the two. Sometimes it doesn't work out, folks.
Have you had sex?
Like Jell-O... down a water slide.
Have you had sex on a beach?
Don't think so, no.
Have you had sex outdoors?
Yes.
Legend.
What would happen if these were to magically disappear?
Yeah, I know where you live.
For a pair like this, I could move. Oh, wait, here, not that one. So you want me to get rid of it?
No, it's too beautiful. I'll just bury it deep in the back, like I did my feelings.
Do you miss her?
Every day. Well, it's weird. I haven't cried very much at all. Well, no, maybe... maybe you're only allotted a certain amount of tears per man, and I use my...
Oh, when did that happen, I wonder?
Very recently. And we're back.
That's my thing. Hopefully you caught the excitement of Tim going, oh, and I didn't say it, but I felt it. Tim has three posters blue-tacked side by side on a wall in the studio here. One of them, due to the heat and fresh air, has peeled itself off of the wall and was going to fall all the way down, but is held in place by a blackboard that is in front of it. It's interesting to think that what we're watching, it's right next to you, is a movie that cost $100 million to make, is 2.5 hours long,
and
stars some of the greatest actors of our time, has somehow proven to be less interesting than a poster literally falling off a wall.
Yeah. It's like watching paint dry and being enthused about it.
It's the opposite, though. It's like watching paint wet.
True. You got me there. All right, just bloody taking the cap off the Macaraca Reserve Pinot Noir of Chile. Oh, it's not a good colour. I'll say that. I don't know wine, but that's not what I expect in a Pinot Noir.
No, I got a good feeling about it. To be honest, at this point, what difference does it make? Let's bury ourselves. The problem is, we both got lives, tasks, things to do after this.
No, we exist only in this. This is all there is.
Do you think that's true?
Let's have a look
at the legs. To people listening to the podcast, do you think our lives exist beyond the confines of watching the same movie and talking about it every week?
No, and you shouldn't think about it. People listen to us for escapism. I don't want to burst that bubble. Enjoy, everybody.
You don't want to reveal the fact that you've got a life beyond the podcast?
Absolutely not. It would ruin the magic. I don't know. What am I looking for here? When I swill wine around a glass and people say good legs on that, what's good? Is it when
I think
it sticks
legs,
or is it when it
yeah,
not?
I think legs is when it sticks. It's like a very gentle viscosity that puts the liquid against the glass so you can see traces of it from the top to the bottom of the glass. That is what I imagine when someone says look at the legs on that. If only because the drips or fluid bit of liquid that you can see peeling down from the top of the glass down to where the liquid is resembles legs.
Yeah, that's true. Like a, yeah, yep, you're right. It's funny, isn't it? Because when you do the little swilly motion, I mean, in the wine community, I'm sure you're aerating the wine with some other stuffy nonsense. But if you did that to some bloody second-rate juice that had some floaties in it, you know, it's uncouth. But apparently this is classy. So let's take a little taste test and find out what we're working with here from Chile. It's not bad. It's robust. That's good. It's yummy.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's got notes of yumminess.
I couldn't help but notice that you have been on high alert, living in not fear or dread, but certainly skepticism about the taste of this Chilean wine. So I'm very happy to hear that you're happy. I'd like to say I've never noticed it. I probably won't notice it again. It might not be true. I'm just trying to find something to say in this moment. I fucking love Carrie Bradshaw's new hair colour right now. It is really working for her.
A few people have commented on that. We've had a few guests say that, yeah, no, they really love the move of SJP to a brunette. I'm with them. We've got a phone call just coming into the studio now that we're just picking up. Guys grabbing the phone. Do you want to just check who that is?
Yeah, I'm just on the phone right now, Tim. It's someone from England.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the information I got given.
Oh, my goodness. And you've hung up on them straight away. Was that the end of the convo? Did they just ring up to say, hello, I'm from England?
Yeah.
Far out.
I sort of talk like this.
Is that right?
Yeah, and so you saw what I'm thinking is I'm just going to start talking like this as
what
well.
What would have maybe been a smart idea is to maybe bring that voice in maybe when the phone call was still transpiring, give the podcast a bit of colour.
People can't hear what I'm hearing if I'm on the phone, but if I just start talking like this, it's sort of, if you think of it as me, Guy, but also someone slightly divorced from Guy.
Okay.
So, for example, I just start calling myself Keith.
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 Yeah. Keith. K-E-I-T-H. Keith.
What part of England are you from, Keith?
Nottinghamshire.
Oh, that's my favourite part.
Yeah, well, it's my favourite part too, isn't it? I don't really want to leave Nottinghamshire so much anymore. But sometimes I got to for work.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a pilot.
Are you? You fly planes?
Yeah.
For whom?
Commercial jets, British Airways.
Far out.
Absolutely.
BA is quite a good airline, as I understand.
Well, not up in the cockpit. It's absolutely horrible.
What's happening in there, Keith? What's going on?
Well, a lot of the money that's being spent on these planes is going into the cabins. First class, business class, premium economy. I leave the pilots in the front, up back in the 60s.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
What are you dealing with in there? Take me through the chairs that
it's just a rudimentary series of levers and knobs, really. A few shapes, a few wooden blocks. The usual.
What's the equipment like in there? You got some measuring apparatus to be able to see what altitude you're at?
Yeah, we've got a tape measure. You sort of drop that out the window, wind the window down, roll that down the side of the window, see how far up from the ground you are.
Now, that still works when you're 30,000 feet in the air. You've got a pressurised cabin.
Well, no, a lot of the time we're just left to guess, isn't it?
I see.
But all the passengers are so comfortable in their premium economy, even if you're in economy, it's pretty comfortable in our seats where all the money goes.
That's right.
They don't even care.
How warm is it in the cockpit? Do you stay okay in there? Too hot, too cold, just right?
If you put a window down, it does get pretty cold quick.
I see. I imagine that may take the plane down also.
Well, yeah, a little bit. That's what turbulence is.
It's
the pilots getting some fresh air.
Getting a bit of air. I see. That makes sense to me. Very good. And look, who's your favourite co-pilot? That's the question on everyone's lips.
It's got to be Angela.
Yeah, Angela.
She's the love of my life.
Is she?
Yeah.
Does she know this?
Well, in so many words. It's not entirely reciprocated, but I think she's coming round.
I see. You got to keep a nice professional relationship, though, while you're in the skies.
Tried to.
I see.
It's hard if you're in love with someone, isn't it?
It is, especially when
all the way up there.
Close proximity.
Well, you got the wind ripping through a plane, moving at 800 miles an hour. You got a tape measure hanging out the window.
Certainly.
You know, you feel a real rush. You feel a jolt of adrenaline sometimes. You say some things that you might not be meant to say.
Is it because you think you're about to die on account of the turbulence?
Well, often, yeah, I do get into a bit of trouble sometimes, now and then, for winding down the window.
What's the worst thing you've said to Angela, Keith?
I love you.
How'd she respond?
Well, I couldn't really hear her, could I, for the noise of the wind screaming through the cockpit.
Did it occur to you she may not be able to hear you either?
That hadn't occurred to me. You're telling me there's still a chance?
I'm saying there's still a chance.
Well, I'm going to go tell Angela I love her. See ya.
Best of luck, Keith.
Not a bad guy.
Fair play to him, eh?
Honestly, nice to have someone else in the studio.
Really good stuff. Really good stuff. Ah.
And the movie rages on.
To bring everyone, words escape. Where are we? Carrie, broken up. Miranda, broken up. Charlotte, fine. Samantha, Rocky, done. That's where we are.
That's right.
It's New Year's. This movie transpires over about 18 months. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's about a year and a half?
Yeah, about a year, I reckon.
Pull me out.
Can I just say...
It's either the way that we watch movies or this movie or the mood that I'm in right now, but it calls into question what makes any movie good. Like, what is lacking here? We've got characters, stuff's happening to them. Isn't that enough? Aren't we meant to be interested?
You're not supposed to watch a film 25 times. That's the key component. And it actually worries me.
Hello.
And we're back.
And we're back. I'm not sure how long we were offline for that time. This is going to make for a very interesting and admittedly difficult director's commentary to sync up if you're trying to watch the movie.
Who's doing that?
Hopefully.
Honestly, what we have recorded is 2.5 hours of us struggling to have a conversation with each other while our worst enemy sits
now,
in the room.
I don't know how much of this got picked up. Perhaps none. I'm guessing none. But Guy just put the question to me that the crisis we are in right now begs the question, what makes a good movie? We've lost all scope of that. I threw back to my man Monty the fact that you are not supposed to absorb a film 25 times. No wonder it's lacking for enjoyment, despite the fact that there's characters, there's story, there's you know, stakes for the people we're supposed to be invested in. We've seen it 25 times, mate. That's not how you enjoy cinema, pal.
It's true. It's not how you enjoy anything.
It's not enjoyable, guys.
A song's enjoyable at least 25 rounds. It's not as long, though.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That's a good point. A painting?
Yep, paintings are evergreen. Songs?
Poetry? Right up there with music, I'd say.
Yeah. Jokes?
I'd put jokes almost in the category of film.
Yeah.
You want to be surprised by a joke for it to have the full effect.
That's true. You do need to be surprised by a joke.
All comedy is being surprised in the right way. Do you know who said that?
Tim Batt?
Yeah, it's me.
Truly?
Yeah.
It's not a bad quote.
Yeah. It was an epiphany I had.
What do you think about New Year's Eve? Do you buy the hype?
I think it's good for humans to retain some ceremonies.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I like the function of New Year's.
Do you set resolutions?
No, I do an assessment.
You reflect on the year that's
been.
I go back.
We're at New Year's. How was this one?
That's right.
Do I need to make some big changes?
How do you feel at the most recent changeover of years?
Pretty good. 18 was all right.
18 was big.
Got married.
Yeah.
Huge. That happened at the start of the year.
Massive. That is absolutely massive.
Not as many professional wins as I would have liked.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough. It's a tough industry.
The podcasting, watching the same movie over and over again.
Everything.
How do you get to be number one at that? How many people are doing this format now as well? There's a few people who have reached out either saying, do you mind if I do the same idea? Or, hey, Tim, look at these fucking Charlies doing the same idea as you. Mate, I've said it before and we will say it again. You have our blessing. Go for it.
Yeah, honestly.
We don't own this fucking genre.
We caught lightning in a bottle once, and half of it's out of the bottle. Good luck to anyone trying to wrangle that other half of a lightning bolt into a bottle.
Like Ray Badrum was at my throat trying to convince me that he was going to have the wherewithal to listen to, I think, like,
one of our episodes 52 times or all of the episodes 52 times. I knew immediately he didn't have the follow through to do it, but he was convinced he was going to do it. Lo and behold, I gave the man about 3 weeks. He messaged me going, you know what, Tim, I'm not going to do it. I said, yeah.
It takes a lot of hard work, a lot of commitment. That's the thing. Do you know what it represents? Do you know why this podcast is interesting?
Why?
Or it becomes good or interesting the same way that anything in life does. It's literally just showing up. This is the best representation of self-discipline I have from the last 4.5 to 5 years.
That is disgusting to me, but probably the same for myself.
Absolutely. I've not laid out any greater body of evidence that says, hey, I can find something and stick to it. And that breaks my fucking heart.
You are having a crisis on mic. Things are good, guy. You've got love in your life. You live in New York City, the big banana. Things are going all right.
That is true.
Look up.
New York City is not as represented on film.
How is their depiction of New York City and your experience of New York City different?
None of these people have roommates.
Fucking A.
That's one of the first ways this is absolute nonsense.
Do they presumably all own their apartments, right? They're all pretty rich.
Miranda's renting.
Oh, that's true.
But she probably co-owns the place in Brooklyn with Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlotte, I think, I don't know how much money Charlotte made. She was a gallerist.
Harry is loaded, isn't he?
Oh, okay.
What does Harry do again? Runkle, for the long-time listeners.
I think...
Entertainment lawyer? Or is that a different show?
That's a different show. That's Runkle. He's a manager or something. I think he's maybe a finance guy. Maybe him and Big would have something to talk about. Steve is a business owner. He runs a bar. Big, famously, the only illiterate stockbroker on Wall Street.
That's a good claim to fame, though, because on Wall Street, there's like 1,000 brokers and, you know, money shifters. You want one that's got a defining characteristic. You got to have a unique sales proposition.
Yeah.
And being a man still standing.
Yeah,
after decades,
yeah.
He's still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he can't read. Like, he's definitely got something.
I watched the music video for I'm Still Standing this morning.
Weird. How was it?
It's all right. Elton John. I feel like it was filmed in Miami. He's a fun guy.
Elton?
Yeah, he seems like he's got a good energy.
I agree. Quite agree. Yeah, I hope we get to continue to enjoy Elton John.
Vitamin water. That's what I was trying to think of. Starbucks. Smart water. Vitamin water.
Smart water. Yeah, true. Good point. I am interested in how much money they paid, eh? Like, what do you pay to get into Sex and the City and the movie?
I think it was about $15 at the time.
$15, 15 US or NZ?
To watch it, yeah.
Ah, very good. The vitamin water to be in there, the product placement.
Million.
One?
Million.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
You reckon it's worth it?
Do you think you'll ever have $1 million in your bank account at one time?
No, not how money works. Millionaires don't have $1 million in their bank accounts. They've got assets. What would you do? $1 million in your bank account's not doing anything for you.
I would go to
the stock market.
I'd go to an ATM.
I'm pretty sure they've got it's either $800 or $2,000 limit.
Not to withdraw, just to confidently display balance when I am withdrawing.
Cool. Just to get mugged.
I'll tell you about that. When I was waiting to do a show in New York that I was putting on, and I went to an ATM to get out some cash so that I could tip. And there's a woman in front of me at the ATM who accidentally
printed a receipt.
She didn't print a receipt. She somehow left her balance on script. Like, she was distractedly talking to her friends. Yeah, she was just at the ATM in front of me, and I was waiting. I thought she was finished, but she wasn't yet finished. I caught a glimpse of her balance.
And?
$80,000 sitting in her checking account, coming to watch the show I was putting on. Is it weird I felt entitled to some of her money?
How much did you feel entitled to? If it's anything beyond the ticket price, yeah.
Just
give me $2,000.
Yeah,
You've got 80.
Exactly. In my mind, I was like, if you enjoy it, just give me $500. Honestly, it's no skin off your back.
Yeah. But you don't get 80 grand by that kind of behavior. You get 80 grand
that's
by
what everyone
no
says. Yeah, that's what everyone says. Like, you know, famously wealthy people are also famously frugal.
These two gals deserve a shout out. We drifted really from the intended purpose of this recording.
I love the storefront of this cafe as well.
Okay, here we are. So what you've just missed, folks, is the scene where Samantha gets red dye spilled on her by a couple of, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, Peter protesters, who are aghast at the use of fur in the fashion industry. And they're saying, fur is murder.
Do you wear fur?
Not knowingly.
Leather?
I think I do have some leather items. I think I got some leather shoes made in Vietnam.
Lily's a fucking idiot who can't write yet.
Well, listen, she's a small child.
Yeah, well.
You need to lay off.
Do better. It's interesting that French people still haven't figured out how to spell perfume.
Without doubt, that's the funniest thing either of us have said this whole time.
I think that's the funniest thing I've said in about a year.
Oh, boy. Look, you missed it. All that wasabi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Fucking insane. She's so absent-minded. She's not looking at what she's doing whatsoever. She laid it out like fucking ketchup out of a bottle.
Yeah, that is going to...
Are you joking me, mate?
That is really going to sting you.
Oh, thank God you're throwing it away. That thing is a bottle rocket. Wasabi's got a very unique property as well, where it's different if you have chili spice. Like, when you say a spicy food, you're thinking chili. But with wasabi, it's that umami kind of heat. And it fucking stings the nostrils.
Absolutely.
It gets that palate, that upper
but
palate of you.
There is also some sort of synthetic or false wasabi.
It's which, horseradish.
Yeah. That to me is horseradish.
What do you mean?
Well, it looks like it's out of a tube. It doesn't look like the real deal.
Oh, I see. Well, irrespective, they end up with the same sort of heat.
It's a gentle kick on a flaccid roll of sushi.
It's not
gentle. I cannot believe that you think fish is a more acceptable sex food than rice.
You know, just look, this is going to skew the timeline a little bit, but I've very recently edited up that episode. That poll is, I guess, once you're hearing this, definitely out and settled, but fuck, man, let's not revisit it, because whatever happened happened, and it's in the past now, but it's in the future for us.
It's a nice...
The timelines are confusing.
Glimpse behind the production curtain.
It's like the fucking Marvel universe. It's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, trying to keep all the timelines straight in our heads. What's been released? What's out there? What isn't? This restaurant, we have talked about it numerous times before, but it is fucking hilarious, the amount of balloons they've got.
Yeah, I blew all of those up with my own mouth, tied the knots. The production and set dressing crew were furious.
How is your breath lighter than air? Because these are...
Well, that's what they said. They said, those are meant to be filled with helium, you idiot. We spent the last of our budget on those balloons. So, I painstakingly, with my own nails and teeth, had to undo every single knot I had tied of those balloons, let the air out so that they were still functional balloons. I know it looks like a lot right now, but can you imagine? I tried to get 5,000 balloons into that room.
It's too many.
Absolutely, it's too many. I lost 4,000 of them when I was deflating them, leaving 1,000 helium-filled balloons, which adorn the scene that is in front of us right now.
Coincidentally, also where we get the turn of phrase, tying the knot. It's about balloons. This is a moment of revelation between
Carrie
Bradshaw and Miranda, I'm going to say, Shrilecki.
Hobbs.
I was off.
Only by several syllables and no shared consonants or vowels.
This is when Miranda reveals to Carrie Bradshaw over a camaraderous, is that an adjective? A camaraderous Valentine's meal. We have two women scorned.
I don't remember how sad we got during season two. Was it this sad? It was
absolute worse.
Yeah.
Dude, nothing can touch the depths of Sex and the City 2. No shit, man. As bad as this ever gets, I really don't think we will approach Sex and the City 2 zone. That was a unique depression. It was bad.
Mm.
You're going. I can see in your eyes. You're like an old war vet remembering,
yeah,
losing some comrades.
It did get really dark, but this feels tonally to me as close as I've been since then. Professionally, podcast wise, since then, I've experienced, you know, upset and sadness in my life, my personal life, since the Sex and the City 2 season, but not by virtue of what we're doing. Have I felt as close to how I remember feeling at that time as I do right now? The thing is, tail end of this episode, we wrap it up. Not even halfway there. We don't have to do this again, sure.
We don't have to talk. I think we should do another DIRCOM.
I love that. Fuck, that's aspirational. We bombed the first one. This is the open mic of director's commentary.
We'll pick it up in the 40s.
And the unique thing about America, two people host a lot of open mics there. Every open mic starts as an episode of a podcast I would never listen to.
Yeah. Creative arts are hard. There's no doubt about it. Never really reckoned with the fact that dog's got a sweater before. Samantha's little pooch, which never gets a name, is wearing a pink sweater. They're in the West Coast. Even in the heat of winter, that little furball's going to overheat. Oh, height of winter, I should have said. The heat of winter would be a tautology. Yeah. No, the opposite. Self-defeating.
You're hosting a dance party.
Here I am. Rock you like a hurricane. Sorry, go on.
You've already answered my question.
Okay. Was the question, what's the song I play?
I'm not going to tell you.
Scorpions. Here I am, rock you like a hurricane.
Whoa.
They don't write them like that anymore. Well, if they do, they don't make the charts. Well, I wouldn't know that.
They don't write them like that anymore. Well, if they do, I haven't heard about them.
It's true.
It's true of anything. Absolutely everybody, everybody, everybody. Absolutely everybody in the whole wide world. Everybody needs and everybody breathes. Absolutely everybody, everybody. Everybody feels so wonderful. I'm gonna hear someone hear hand. Do you know, you ever sing a song and you think, that's okay, but if someone who's listening hasn't heard that song before, they're like, this improv is off the fucking charts. I want to put a lot of heavy rocks in a backpack, and I want to put it on my back,
yeah. And
I just want to keep walking until I'm in a body of water.
Fuck, man, this seems like a real psychological response to the situation you've been put in. Like, real core human behavior. There's something in your reptilian brain which is going, I'm not receiving enough stimulus or punishment for what I've signed up for, and I need to rectify that.
That's how it feels. A clear shower curtain. You don't get a lot of that these days.
Certainly not. You want to know why? Because we're living in a post-GFC world where we've got to live together because no one can afford property anymore.
And I am a material girl.
Fucking 80s have got a lot to answer for. Tell you that for free.
I tell you what, we're not making sense. The quality of what we're talking about has probably gotten down, but it feels like there's momentum in the room. It feels like we're trending upwards.
What is that? It doesn't look like red wine to me. What, do you got a water bottle in the mix?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
It's full of straight vodka, baby.
No, it is. Come on, be straight with me. This cab driver is, if I could pick one character in this film to have a spin-off series, it's him.
If I could pick one character in this series who most represents how I feel,
yeah,
it's this guy. This poor bastard trapped in a cab with two people he's beholden to.
Yes.
Due to, you know, the societal constructs that have him in place as a taxi driver, requiring on the fare, paid by these two characters to get him by.
Big fly? Look at that thing that's wandered in.
That ain't no fly, my friend.
What is it?
It's a bird.
It's big.
That taxi driver represents
big
us.
Big insect.
The taxi is the podcast. Mm-hmm. The driver is the host.
Okay. Is that us?
Carrie and Miranda are Carrie and Miranda.
Oh, okay. The cab is us and the driver is also us.
Yeah.
Miranda and Carrie aren't us.
No, but we're forced to spend time with these characters against our will. But okay, we have to due to some sort of...
Can I say, all right, let's look at what's happening.
Commercial imperative. Where's the red wine at?
Fuck,
all right. Put it in my glass! We're getting somewhere. It's not healthy for us. It's not healthy for our interpersonal relationship.
Give me your glass.
I'm giving it to you.
What do you think of Steve's posture in this scene? This is when
it's fantastic.
We're in the relationship.
I can't believe you criticised his outfit in this scene. One of my favourite outfits in the entire movie.
Marriage counsellor.
Do you know what that sweater's made out of?
Mohair?
Marriage material.
Oh, that's fucking good stuff from you.
Fucking A, man.
Fell right into the trap.
My brain's firing. I'm finally operating at the maximum.
He's got it. We've got 27 minutes of film left to go, probably. He's finally woken up.
Yeah.
Hey, is this thing on? Because Monty's come to play.
I'm here. Hey, good evening, everyone. My name's Guy Montgomery. And I know what you're thinking. I look like what happens when my mum has unprotected sex with my dad.
Cue the applause. Shut the show down. It's too much laughter.
Bombed it. Regret it.
Edit it out. No.
Redact it.
Listen.
I want that joke to just play out as two beeps, editing out the material.
It'll never happen. I'm not listening to this thing in secret.
Please.
How would I even find it?
When you see the spikes?
You've been screaming to me to put wine in your glass. It's going to spike it. I'm not going to search.
Yeah, so that's one minute window. Please, you've got to edit that joke out.
Mate, shall we return to the job at hand, which is...
editing out jokes.
Yeah. It's not that. Here's the thing.
I love you, brother.
Here's the thing about this film.
If you and me were on the beach, sleeping under the stars...
Unfortunately, Guy...
I'd cuddle up to you so freaking close.
Guy has been defeated by it.
I have.
Here's the thing. We go into battle fucking twice a week now, and he's been defeated. He got pwned.
It feels good. This is what it feels like to be fighting on the losing side of a war on the last day.
It's important to know what
honestly,
it feels like.
It feels fantastic.
Why? Because you know, like, there's nothing left to fight for?
Absolutely. But
there's half a season left.
Because I cared before, and now I don't. It is a real window into the futility of life.
This is nihilism, what you're describing.
None of it makes a difference.
Fucking hell,
it's not nihilism. It just doesn't matter.
That's the definition of nihilism.
So I'm brilliant. Wait, tell me you fucking love me.
I love you, Guy Montgomery. I want to cheers you.
Oh, I want to cheers
you. You're a great man. Perennially funny. That means evergreen in your comedy.
Oh,
and
yes.
Here's what else. Just a good guy. Just a good dude.
Yes.
It takes a huge beating heart to reckon with oneself and look oneself in the mirror and say, did I fuck up today? Few people do it. You know, he does it, Guy Montgomery.
I do do it.
He
I do it every day.
Himself.
Thanks, man.
It's important. We all need to get in the field of that.
Oh, my compliments coming through thick and fast. Can
that
I say something to you?
That just flew out the room. Do you think it was a spectre, like a biological spectre of the compliment?
I want to tell you something.
Go on. That was Coffee Guy?
I think that was Coffee Guy. Yes. And to this day, I'm upset that you did not agree with me.
I know. I could tell at the time you were upset, and I could tell at the time it was going to persist.
I was thinking about it yesterday.
Fuck.
Entirely divorced from the podcast or spending time with you. Just in my own head, the thought naturally presented itself.
You have never, as far as I know, listened to one of the podcasts.
Why would I?
I have listened to all of them, I think.
To edit them.
Well, they're not edited, but they're mixed. I recently got to that one that I had to listen to, and I was like, why didn't you go with him, Timbo? You should have gone with him. Absolutely. And I even said that on the episode, I think. I was like, I should have gone with you.
That was what stuck out at me, is I was like, Tim always comes with me. Like, I feel like I need to do a better job of going with Tim. And here I am being like, well, if I go out there, Tim will come with me. He always comes with me.
Now, this is the scene that keeps
coming
into my mind.
This is the most stoked I've been to see a breast.
Savor it. Drink it in. This is Miranda Hobbs. What's her name again?
Cynthia Nixon.
Cynthia Nixon, who ran for governor. I think it's fucking... we need to have more people running for high office who have got
nudity of themselves out. Well, except for Anthony Weiner, because it's a different thing.
I read an opinion piece recently, written in the New York Times. I say recently, it was a while ago. In the wake of Jeff Bezos's divorce and blackmail scandal, or purported blackmail scandal, it was an opinion piece written by someone who said, "Hey, Jeff, leak those dick pics, brother.
Yes, dude.
Take the power back.
Absolutely.
Change our relationship to sexually explicit images."
He because almost
everyone,
did.
Everyone's putting them out there.
He basically
Everyone's
did.
Got them out there. As soon as we normalize them, if I release my dick pic as some unknown opinion writer, that's not going to have any impact. Everyone's going to think, whatever.
You're the richest man on earth.
If you
show us your penis.
If you put out your dick pics, you can change our relationship to them.
But this is like asking him to put the second fucking Amazon HQ in a place that'll actually benefit. You missed Dante's peak this watch. I want to say that.
Yeah.
I love that you were looking at me, but I was looking squarely at that man's penis.
I got a real strong visual image in my mind of his penis.
You've seen it.
It's real nice, and I keep thinking it's turgid because it's big, but maybe it's just big. Do you know who's got a massive penis?
Go on.
The Game.
The rapper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Monster dong.
Did you fuck The Game?
No, but I have seen it semi-erect through a pair of briefs.
Okay, like in person or?
I wish. He posted it to Instagram.
Ah.
Do you want to see it?
Nah.
Yeah, I'll get it up.
Okay, sounds good. This part of the film is what I call Act 3, Rebirth. Charlotte hasn't popped yet. We actually forgot to announce that she was pregnant, but if you're a listener to the podcast, you'll know that that's a plot point. This is the baby shower that Carrie's throwing at her new apartment, like new apartment. She has about 4 apartment changes in this film. This is the one after Big and her get the apartment together. After she comes back, she's, I don't know, I think it's her old apartment, but it's been renovated. Gave it a paint job, got a desk. This is the bit where Samantha comes back from the West Coast and they're like, "You're fat now," but she isn't. Just very, as a viewer, very confusing to tease out what's happening.
It confused me for more than one screening.
And fucking now you're up to speed. Welcome along, viewer.
The date, the 2nd of December, 2016. The headline, "The Game keeps posting pictures of his giant dick." The website, Jezebel.
Ah.
The penis. Why won't that image open?
I thought it was going to be BuzzFeed.
So you would. Oh, that website's been discontinued.
Man, that... Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. What? Jezebel still exists, I think. That cake looks delicious, and I'm not a cake guy at all.
I mean, you can see it top right. Look at that photo.
It's a big dick. Dude's got a big dick. What can I tell you? Guy's not lying to you.
But it's not just big. It's massive. Isn't it?
It's a huge penis. Credit where it's due.
I wouldn't fuck it.
All right.
It's too big.
Okay. You're scared little boy, Monty.
Look.
You're a fearful little child.
I'm not against people having massive dongs. I just don't want to have sex with them.
Fuck you, man. You're a hater.
Have I said something wrong?
You're a hater.
Dude, have I done something to fuck you off? Because the whole energy in this room has changed.
You did all of this.
What are you talking about? You've kept it cool. Respect. I've lost it.
You're all good, man.
I'm through the looking glass.
No, wait, good. Show me what's there. Show me some other images.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Is it all just The Game's big dick?
Ask me literally anything.
Wall to wall? Here it goes. AMA, Guy Montgomery. What do you see? Close your eyes. What do you see?
It's black. Like, I've got a very blank slate, and I'm waiting for your questions to fill out the visuals.
When I say candy floss, you say...
Candy floss. I'm looking at candy floss.
That is a terrible word association. Just repeat back.
Am I meant to have my eyes open again?
If I say cow, you say
moo.
If I say equation, you say
math.
If I say Samantha, you say
Jones.
If I say The Game's big old dick, you say
awesome.
Okay, cool. Open your eyes. You're back in the room.
I was in the room the whole time.
But if I say the key phrase, you will cluck uncontrollably like a chicken.
Okay, interesting.
And you don't know what the key phrase is.
I do not.
This is the breakup of Samantha Jones and Smith Jarrett. Now, is it Jared or Jarrett? Because you looked this up recently.
Don't remember. Fuck. Jared.
D.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I thought it was Jarrett this whole time. Interesting fact about this podcast. I thought it was Jarrett for a long time.
Here's an interesting fact about this podcast.
It sucks.
What the fuck is up with you, baby? Tell me about your day. Hashtag GMON. Hashtag about that life. Hashtag living it.
What the fuck is this?
Literally, DM me.
You've gone.
Yeah, I'm out.
He's out, ladies and gentlemen. The man's gone. I don't know if you've had too much to drink or smoke or if you are appropriately in tune with what's up.
Tim, I want to ask you a question.
I think it's the latter.
How are you?
I'm going to ask you to back off that mic.
I'm fucking over it, man.
No, you're good, you're good, you're good. Keep it up. What's happening? Who's this southern gentleman I'm talking
to? Well, I don't know. I can't even find the voice. Hello, hello, hello.
It is a pleasure to have you here on the pod. What is your name,
Wonderful
sir?
To be here. Smith Garrettson.
Smith Garrettson, it is an honor to host you.
Well, it's wonderful to be here in your beautiful country.
Smith, what is going on with you, my guy?
Well, I only flew in yesterday. I was holidaying in London, England, and it was a very long flight, but it's a joy to be here in this beautiful...
Now, what do you make of London, England? Because it doesn't strike me as...
Not really for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was holidaying there for the previous 30 years, and I don't care for it myself.
You were holidaying there for 30 years.
Well, I was trying to get an accurate representation of what it's like to be in London, England. And
Smith,
so,
can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
How old are you?
75.
You're 75 years old. At the age of 45... You went, I'm moving to London, England for a holiday?
Absolutely not. I said, I am going on a holiday. Mm-hmm. I said that to my 3-year-old boy and his beautiful 35-year-old mother. I said it to my business associates. I said it to everyone I know.
You're at the airport. You're ready to go. Do you know where you're going at that point?
London, England.
At what point did you discover you were going to London, England?
When I booked the flights.
Okay, and when did that come? Because you sort of corrected me when I tried to take a little stab at... You didn't tell your loved ones you were off to London, England. You said, I'm going on vacation.
To London, England.
Oh, you told them at the... Okay, gotcha. Very cool. Now, you're there for 30 years. 3 decades. What did you make in the place?
Well, as I said just earlier, it's not really for me. I had one good day.
When was it? Give me the date.
1970. No, wait. 1998.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Mike Myers released Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me.
The UK lost control of Hong Kong, I think.
Yep. Both happened.
Or wait. Yeah, no, I think that's right.
Oh, man. Tim, it's Guy.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I want to say I love you, man.
No, it's Smith.
I love you, brother.
No, don't cross the streams. It's Smith, surely.
Okay, but it is who it is.
Smith, okay, we got a lovely day, one lovely day in 1998. Tell me about it, man. What happened? Did you go on the London? Oh, the London Eye wasn't even up at that point.
I wake up at 8:30 a.m., mm-hmm. same time I do every day.
Yes, sir.
I have myself... A stick of Gouda cheese stirred through a cup of black coffee.
Gouda and coffee, folks.
It is the most sickening combination of viscosity and liquid that you can imagine.
Decadence.
It is.
Hashtag decadence.
Very decadent. Well, if I just have the coffee, it goes straight through me. If I just have the cheese, it gums me up.
Yes.
I want to have both. I put them together. It's like a coffee fondue.
It's great, man. It's a really fun thing to have in the morning.
Well, so you think, not after 23 years.
So, this morning in 1998, where you had a wonderful day in London, you kick off with your regular coffee and Gouda. What happens next, Smith?
Well, I spend a very confusing 4 to 5 minutes in the bathroom. Not quite shitting, but not shitting.
Yep. I gotcha.
There's a lot of farts.
Uh-huh.
Man, I'm so juvenile. My brain's in mush.
No, that's good. You took a big old, you know, pseudo dump. And then...
And well,
you went to like a maybe took in some arts at a museum or
I absolutely took in some art at the museum. I bought a ticket to see Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me.
Very cool.
Head along to the cinema. Now that Mike Myers really cracks me up.
You like him, huh?
Yeah.
You know he's Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay, huh?
Why would that be a problem?
I don't know. I've met a couple of people with your accent.
All right, I'm out of here. See ya.
Oh no, Smith.
I'm
okay.
So sorry, man.
All right, see you, Smith.
I'm not doing that.
He's
well.
Out the door. No,
I'm really right. Not doing that.
You're
well.
Good, man.
You're coaching me through
you.
This.
You're great.
I'm drinking all of this.
Yeah, I believe it. You have to do it in one. Please don't do it in one. He's driving. He's got a 6-hour trip after this, ladies and gentlemen. I've just seen him drink at least a bottle of red.
Oh, man.
It was a big gulp.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm sad.
Yeah, that's the reason most people drink in that fashion. Now, Harry's tie.
Still not good.
No?
Doesn't matter how much booze you put into me. It doesn't matter how sad I feel about the state of the world. That tie sucks shit.
Gutted. Gutted for him and the citrus.
Can I make a recommendation, Tim?
Go on.
Check out Sabrina Jarlez on Netflix. 15-minute special. One of the funniest bits of stand-up I've seen in a while.
All right.
That's Sabrina, Jalees.
I mean, what's coming to mind is a recent when I say it was in this season of the podcast, an episode where I, like, right at the very end just tried to tuck in. I was like, hey, can I give out a movie recommendation? You were like, absolutely not. And here you are, in the middle of a fucking DIRCOM, throwing out... By the way, did we invent the term DIRCOM?
It's easier to ask for permission
no.
than forgiveness.
You've got it round the wrong way.
Absolutely we did.
Is that us?
Yeah.
I've never seen it before, that it's, contraction, DIRCOM.
It's all us.
Yeah, boy.
That's all you. You're so smart... I respect you.
Clever boy, Tim.
When I talk about you sometimes, I say I really respect the way Tim is open to being wrong.
That's good. I reckon that's the fucking mark of a smart person.
Mate, it takes a lot of work to be open to being wrong.
Do you reckon?
Absolutely. I'm literally consciously working on that right now. Like, it's so much easier to present as right or at least intelligent or non-controversial or cautious than it is to openly talk about things while still being open to being told that what you're saying is dated or inaccurate.
Hey, we got to get there, bro. That's how we're going to get
way.
Better. We got to make a bit more room for people to be wrong out loud and just let them, you know, don't fuck them up too bad. That's my advice for everyone. Don't fuck them up too bad.
Don't fuck them up
don't
too
fuck them
bad.
Don't fuck them up too bad.
Brother.
We're all learning. Now, you've got a fucking thing that you've got. Look at that.
The Carrie egg timer. Bradshaw, rocking the hourglass.
Hourglass, that's what they're called. You bought one of those. I love this. It's like a productivity tool.
That's right. A little bit of self-discipline.
I find
technology slows me down. If I turn the Wi-Fi off,
yeah.
Often I'll just do it
Bring
straight.
People through how you use the hourglass. You flip it over and you go, I'm going to do a task and I've got this amount of time to do it.
It's not even that.
Oh.
The motivating factor was I thought, I want to be more productive. I want to have better self-discipline. 15 minutes.
Hey, yeah. I'm listening.
What's wrong?
I'm just... We've got to finish this wine and the movie's running out.
Guess who's pitching in?
This cunt.
So the logic behind the hourglass, Tim, is I want to be more productive. I want to do more.
For less. Like, you've come to the right place.
Pit stop.
Sound like a slogan.
Literally all it was that I saw these hourglasses and thought, do you know what? 15 minutes a day is such a low stakes commitment. I know, no matter the circumstance, I have it in me to do 15 minutes a day. So I bought it in the knowledge that if I flip it, you got to respect the hourglass. If I flip it, those 15 minutes, it's on. It's happening. And often you'll work for longer than the 15 minutes, but it's like it's renewable. It's a trick.
A little life hack.
I'm not even interested in what I'm saying.
No, come on. I'm sorry. I am listening.
No, you're watching the movie. And
I'm listening to what you're saying about the hourglass and productivity.
Power to you.
I think it's a good idea. I've started doing it myself, actually. I did the old Silicon Valley thing. This is the thing. If you want to be successful, just copy what you think successful people do. The little like clues they give out, just copy them. I've got a whole bunch of post-its on a board in front of me. This is like to do, in progress, and completed. And you shift them along as you get stuff done. Use a little timer to go like, all right, this post-it, I'm going to give myself 10 minutes
to get
this
thing done.
There's something about the physical action of moving it. Right, we are at the end of the film.
Not yet.
Fuck, man, we got to down some piss.
Oh, that's true. I've got to do some, I've got to do work in 3 hours. Like, I've got a work meeting.
It's not for the podcast. They don't need to know that.
I'm telling you as a friend.
I know, but you're doing it on the microphone. Tell me afterwards. What I'm afraid of,
I've got to go to a work meeting.
Oh, God, you got a lot of wine in that glass.
So wait, I just got bullied for nicking a whole glass of wine.
No, you're right. It was an observation, the most recent one. I was about to pour wine in your glass, and then I looked over and I went, you know what? That is beyond full.
Would you rather hook up with Chris Noth or Sarah Jessica Parker?
It's a tough question, and one historians continue to debate. Where I come down on it? Probably SJP.
Because of where you identify on the sexuality spectrum?
I guess it's probably hard to tease out.
For me?
Yeah.
Chris Noth?
Good on you, mate.
There's nothing.
Looks like a shit kisser, though. He keeps going for the nose. I don't think he knows how to kiss.
It doesn't matter. It's nothing sexual about it. It's pure curiosity. It's also a brag. Do you know, to me, it's a bigger get.
Yeah, to be able to hook up with Big than Carrie. SJP has got such a stratospheric career compared to Chris Noth, though. Apart from, you know, obviously leading a religion.
Oh, I was going to say, apart from obviously being married to Matthew Broderick. Shout out to Matthew Broderick.
Shout out, Ferris Bueller.
My brother saved committed Ferris. Manslaughter in Ireland.
Oh, dude, we don't talk about that. Have we mentioned it? We might have mentioned it in the second season.
It's fucking crazy.
It's crazy, dude. It's fucked up, man.
I don't know who it was.
What are you looking for?
My phone. I was going to look up the details.
Oh, why would you, man? It's so dark. You're fucked up, bro. You've usually got a pretty good gauge for what to bring to the microphone. I feel like I love the nakedness that you've brought to the pod, to the record.
I apologize.
You needn't.
I apologize. Not to you, Tim, because you enjoyed it. I apologize.
Fucking loved it.
To the listener. Do you know what? I'm usually pretty together. I think I got not my shit on lock, but I reckon I'm in a pretty good way.
Yeah.
This has brought out literally the worst in me. This what we've just done, this whole experience, has brought out...
What you've heard, folks, is the worst of Guy Montgomery.
I can't imagine accessing this negativity and these awful, weird feelings through any other means.
Mm. These specific conditions needed to be created to bring this out.
Like, the next episode's going to be fascinating because I'm going to feel guilty and weird.
Guy, there's... I mean, we could scrap the whole thing. Should we delete it?
No.
Delete the entire thing.
Put it out there.
Should we delete the whole podcast, mate? Should we take it offline?
You know, something you taught me. Life is messy.
Life is messy.
I would love for this not to be in public, but...
That's why it will be.
That's why it's important that it is. I hate this.
We are at the end. We're at the finish line.
Oh, do you know what I did say, though? I said that funny thing about French people spelling perfume.
Do you know what, folks? You can't take that away from him.
Do you know, genuinely, I am embarrassed at how proud I am. That makes this whole thing worthwhile to me.
Fuck me. That's incredible.
That joke doesn't even work as an out loud joke.
I think it does.
It has to be written.
Oh, true. Yeah. Well, unless you've got an educated, audience.
Like we do.
Shout
out to everyone at university right now.
And we do means yes, do.
Shout out to everyone who's joined the workforce instead of going to university. Shout out to everyone who likes Tim more than me. Massive shout out to everyone who likes me more than Tim. And the biggest shout out of all to people who like us exactly the same as
each
other.
Bro, we need to drink more wine because we're not done yet.
oh, no, don't do that. Don't do it like that. This is very bad for your day. You're going to vomit, I think.
Unlikely.
I'll put money on it.
Nah, dude.
It's above 50%.
Nah, dude.
$20.
Hey, dude.
I'll give you 20 NZD if you don't vomit today.
Great.
We've just shook on it, everyone.
Easiest $20 I've made in my life.
He is downed. Because this is how guys consuming the wine. Chatter, 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 chatter. Ignore that I'm holding a glass of red and then fucking just sink the entire thing in a gulp.
It wasn't like that initially. It's this whole gross. Thing went poisonous in the last 45 minutes for me.
It's not been good, though. None of it. What have we got?
Oh, we're going to make it.
Just.
Well, when they toast, we toast. When they drink, we drink.
We're drinking to Samantha's 50th birthday. This is the worst director's commentary we've ever recorded.
That's right. And once we watch Sex and the City 2 twice consecutively.
Fuck! Wait, what?
Shout out to us for making this worse than our 5-hour energy.
What the fuck? I completely forgot about that. Every season we're supposed to like add another watch.
No, do not look at your watch.
Well, I don't know. What do you got on?
I can't.
Technically, what have you got on?
I've got a 6 o'clock.
I mean, like, what's on at 6?
No, because you'll dismiss it.
What is it?
I'm working on my show with the great
No,
Alice.
That's fair. No, that's
with
fucking
the great
fair.
Alice Sneddon.
That's absolutely fair. Do you need to do prep for that to get into it?
I have to not drink 2 more bottles of red wine.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm actually suggesting we sober up live on air.
Oh, my fuck. I hate you. No. What's the time? No.
It's 3.
I'm sick.
It's not even 3. It's just gone 3.
I'm sick at the idea of
That'll
it.
That'll bring you to 5:20. You got a crisp 40 minutes.
No.
In between.
No.
I'll just shunt the slider back. We'll be all good.
No.
We'll be all good.
No.
It's not our best work. And also, in addition, you know, there's the fact that I forgot that
we're supposed
to
drink this wine real fast before the credits
wrong.
Roll.
All right, shit. Fuck me.
We just made it. Hey. Oh, that was awful.
We're done. We're good. What a journey we've all been on, all of us together. So here's what's going to happen now.
No.
Movie's going to start again. And if you're listening at home, I don't know how to time this actually because the recording got a bit fucked up, but
no.
We're going back to 0 now.
No.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.